there, and welcome to High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, and our producer and engineer. We have MIAA playoff action tonight in Division III, as Beverly is playing at New Balance Field, Newell Stadium. Right there, New Balance Field at Newell Stadium, Boston. There we go. All right, tonight's presentation brought to you by Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plashtown, New Hampshire. Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969. Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Attorney Robert J. Madruga, see Bob, for all your estate planning and tax preparation. Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli. The Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. The Porthole Restaurant, a North Shore dining landmark. The Lynn Auditorium, one of the premier entertainment venues in the state. And the Daily Item of Lynn and itemlive.com, the Daily Item serving the North Shore since 1877. Well, it's a beautiful night once again on the North Shore as the wind is blowing pretty briskly from the north, which is across the field. It'll be from behind the press box. It'll be from the rear of the Gloucester bench toward the Beverly bench and a crosswind. And the temperature will be probably in the lower 40s by the time we go home tonight. But, Paul, great weather for football and a rematch between a Beverly team that beat Gloucester 35-0 first time around.
Well, it was the second game of the season for both teams, and I think you'll see a much more competitive game tonight. Gloucester's won five games since then, and Beverly's lost two. They lost to Marblehead, and they lost to Danvers in very close contests. And Beverly's lost a couple of players, but, you know, Gloucester seems to be playing pretty solidly right now, and Beverly played well, I guess, against Lynn Classical, but... You know, it's really their mirror images of each other. They both run the wing T, both offenses. I will say that Beverly runs a lot more different versions of it, and they do some shotgun, and they'll do a lot more shifting than Gloucester will. But I'm expecting a good game, and hopefully, you know, we'll have that tonight because there's a lot on the line. I mean, you lose tonight, and... you're out of it.
And you could be playing Ashcash Nubungi somewhere.
Yeah, maybe
like
Drake
year.
It or
well, you know,
Medford.
One thing you mentioned about the multiple offense of Beverly is they will use that, for want of a better word, the wildcat, where they'll direct snap to one of the running backs, either Madden or Miller. And they'll do that, I think I've seen it pretty much in third down situations.
Yeah, long yardage. And you know it's coming, but they do block it well. And, you know, you got to stop it. And that's the whole thing, is a lot of times, I mean, if you feel physically you can run things, and even if the other team knows it's coming,
mm-hmm.
if you can execute it still, keep running it. I think what I would say too, Rick, is really important tonight is the kicking game. Watching the film of the last game between Gloucester and Beverly, Gloucester really had a tough time with their kicking game. A number of their punts, you know, went 10 to 15 yards, which gave Beverly a short field to work with. So hopefully that'll get straightened out for Gloucester, and we'll see.
Matt Madden is the kicker in question for Beverly, and he pinned Gloucester back numerous times in their first game. And Matt Madden, Christian Miller, Peter Malumba, Sam Abatey, those are the guys to watch on offense. Kevin Morency, the quarterback, he can throw if he has to. We'll be talking with Beverly head coach Dan Bauer in just a second, or at least Tim Kearns will be. And Beverly got here by beating Wakefield in the opener 34-6, the 35-0 shutout over Gloucester second week. In the third week, they beat Peabody by a score of 28-7, and then 35-14 over Lynn English. Then the heartbreaking last-second loss to Marblehead, 28-21. They also were stymied pretty much offensively by a tough Danvers defense a couple of weeks ago, 14-7, before bouncing back to beat Lynn Classical by a score of 46-19. So there you go. Beverly is 5-2 overall. Gloucester is 6-1. We'll take our first break of the evening, and then when we come back, we will be checking in, or at least Tim Kearns will be checking in, with Panther Preview.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
If you come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Silverman Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Silverman Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Silverman Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name. It's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
I'm Jim Kearns for MSONewsSports.com, and this is Panther Preview, brought to you by the Gloria Food Store, 268 Rantoul Street in Beverly. For the best in deli meats and party platters, it's the Gloria Food Store. Joining me once again, as he does every week, is Beverly Panther head coach Dan Bauer. Dan, big week ahead.
Well, you know, it did all right. It was a good game, and, you know, hopefully be back on track.
You know, certainly bouncing back after two straight defeats and heading into the playoffs, it had to be really important to establish some offensive rhythm and also get the defense back in tune.
Well, that's very true, and that was our approach. Was, you know, really didn't matter who we were playing. You know, it's more important that we, as a team, you know, get our focus back where it needs to be and really work on those important points. And you know, and the guys did, obviously, offensively. You know, we had a real big game, and defensively, we were on our heels though for the first half. And, you know, credit Classical, they played really hard, and, you know, it was 21-19 at the half. So, you know, they're right there in the game, and they matched the score for score. But our kids really, at halftime, you know, we made a couple of adjustments here and there, but they really decided. And they took it to them, and, you know, we outscored them 25-0 in the second half. So it felt good to, you know, bounce back, not just off those two games, but kind of how it happened. You know, obviously the last two games at half, we were right there. We were tied in really both games, and you know, we weren't able to get it done. So it was nice to be on that side and then really have our kids find a way to win.
You know, this week's opponent, Gloucester, once again, you beat them pretty handily the second game of the season. And there was a little bit of, I don't know if it's called controversy, but certainly a little flip-flop, as originally the MIAA scheduled Gloucester to play at a site for Beverly, but then flipped it once looking at the Northeast Conference rules that said a conference champion would have the home game, and Gloucester was then awarded the home game. So you're traveling to Newell Stadium this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, we really didn't matter to us one bit. We knew we were going to play Gloucester, and we knew probably going to be Friday, and, you know, we'll play at their place. We're just, we got a nice game, and, you know, we're just happy to be there, and, you know, we just basically told the team let everybody else waste their energy with that, because it doesn't really matter if we at Gloucester or wherever we were going to play or our parking lot. It doesn't matter because it's going to be a heck of a game and against, you know, two teams that, you know, feature similar offense and, you know, their history and traditions shows it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a very physical game for sure.
Yeah, certainly, and Gloucester on a 5-game winning streak and scoring in virtually every possession that they've had over those 5 games. The team is got to be feeling good about itself and looking forward to the rematch against the Panthers.
Yeah, and that's what we basically, if you really piece apart and pull apart that game we played the first time, it really holds very little relevance in this situation because, you know, it was the beginning of the year and, you know, and really a team, you know, a week and a team is almost like a month to some degree, particularly with high school students, and there's a lot of change that take place, so. You know, they've been on a roll and they've, you know, like you said, basically they haven't punted a whole lot in the last 5 games. They really have taken it to those teams and, they've done a nice job. So again, when you piece apart that last game we played, I mean, we made the most of some opportunities. We earned everything we got. They didn't give us anything and, you know, there was some fourth down plays we converted and a couple big pass plays that changed the momentum. So you take those plays out of there, it was a different game. So. You know, we're really not looking at that game anything more than just ways that they're going to, you know, attack us and maybe defend us. And, you know, they've changed. Our focus really is trying to get better and play as best we can.
All right, Jed, I know you got a lot of planning to do. The weather worked against you today in terms of probably a long practice. So I'm going to let you go and wish a lot of luck over the weekend. Rick and Paul Ingham will have the call from Newell Stadium. I'll be in Peabody. But I'll keep you apprised of what's going on there.
Absolutely, Tim. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Okay, that's been Dan Bauer, the head varsity football coach at Beverly High School, with Panther Preview. For MSONewsSports.com, I'm Tim Kearns, and this interview is brought to you, as usual, by the Gloria Food Store.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our 3 locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
The pregame show is brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Thanks to Tim Kearns with the Panther Preview. Should mention that Coach Dan Bauer, in his 13th season now with Beverly, has won 86 games and lost 59. The Panthers come in scoring 206 points, and they have given up 88. Gloucester, meantime, with their record of 6-1, open up with a 27-0 win over Classical before falling 35-0 against Beverly. And then that crazy game at Swampscott on a Saturday where they scored 48 points in the first half. The Fishermen beat the Big Blue 48-13. In Revere, a tough win, but Gloucester managed to prevail 36-16. And, of course, Winthrop had to forfeit before Gloucester beat Salem 39-0 and then Saugus 43-0. So a couple of shutouts in the last 2 games by Gloucester in the Division III South. Coach Tony Cirilli, in his 5th season now already, is over the 500 mark, 26 wins and 25 losses. Gloucester has scored 195 points and given up 64. So Beverly has finished its warm-ups, is still out on the field on the far side. Gloucester has finished their warm-ups as well. We will take a break and go to Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli, and then we've got some high school football coming up right here on MSO Web Radio. And, of course, over on Channel B, it is Malden at Peabody, that game with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
With Fisherman Forecast, I'm Rick Bourne, MSONewsSports.com, and we are once again with Gloucester High School football coach Tony Zerilli. And coach, first of all, congratulations. You've hit some of your objectives, and you have won the Northeastern Conference South. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it feels good. You know, I think we've won our league or division or whatever you want to call it. I guess I'd call it the league 2 out of the last 3 years. So, you know, we're pretty excited here that we accomplished that first goal, and now it's on to the playoffs.
Tony, it seems to be a business-like attitude with the kids. You know, they play week to week, and you rolled up a 6-1 record right now. But it does seem attitudinally, if I can use that phrase, as I said, business as usual. They're not too excited. I don't know how they were after the Beverly game. They're not too high is what I'm trying to say. And they played Beverly first time around, so it looks like a good attitude going into the game.
We try to keep it even-keeled, right? You can't go too high or too low, so we try to keep them right in the middle. Obviously, after wins, we're excited, and you know, then we watch film, and we talk to them about the things that they did wrong and the things that we need to work on, and then we get back to work. And that's kind of how it is. It is kind of business as usual. And this is just another week. Obviously, there's a lot more importance being in the playoffs, but we're approaching it the same way. We have an opponent. We're going to put in a game plan, we're going to practice that game plan, and we're going to go out there, and we're going to try to execute that game plan, and that's just like what we do every week.
I think what was missing this year was Gloucester versus Marblehead, Gloucester versus Danvers, Gloucester versus Peabody, but now there's a chance to do that. And looking back, Tony, I'm sure you've looked back at the first game where Beverly played so well, and then you've seen Beverly since then. What do you, looking back at that first game, and other films of Beverly since then, what do you take away from that? And again, I want to go back to that first game because it seemed to me, once again, like your kids just weren't quite up to the speed of the game.
Yeah, we made – so it's funny. I keep watching and watching that film, and we just made stupid mistakes, especially on the offensive side of the ball. That's what really kind of irritated me is that, you know, I felt like if we could move the ball at least against them, you know – whether we, you know, where the scoring ended up, I don't know, but you know, it's just frustrating watching three and out punt, and it's little mistakes, and it was one guy here or one guy there, and or the guy not hitting the hole correctly, and or the guy missing a block, and I think we were a lot better team than we were. I think we know our assignments a lot better. I think we're running with more passion with our running backs at this point in the season. I think we built a lot of confidence the last couple weeks, and we're going to take that confidence into this game. I think what happened against that first week, it was a long time ago. You know, we came out, we were expecting a tough classical team, and we beat them, and I think we got a little bit ahead of ourselves. And, you know, it was a good game. Beverly put us back into place, and since then we've been working really hard to, you know, become a better team, and I think we have. I think week to week we become a better team throughout the season, and I think it's great to have a rematch against Beverly at this point in the season, where I think we're a better team than we were back then.
With the opportunity for some of your younger kids to play and get some experience, and a lot of experience in the last few weeks, does that give you a little more depth? Is there a chance that some of these kids have developed along the way, or is it pretty much, the veterans out there?
No, we've definitely seen some of the younger kids excel over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, it's put a thought in our mind that, well, maybe some of these kids are ready to play. You know, we're not talking about freshmen or sophomores here, right, but we're talking about some of the junior class that, you know, showed something out there. And, you know, you'll see some new faces on the D-line, maybe not as starters, but you'll see them play this week. And, it's great when you get to witness some of these guys kind of grow up through the course of the season. And the only chance you ever get to see that is when these guys get a chance to play and be out there on the field. And luckily we've had the opportunity the last 3 or 4 weeks to see that.
Christian, or Brucey Sanfilippo, was one of those kids who really made an impact when he got a chance to get in there.
Yeah, and that started last year. You know, that started last year towards the end of the season. We started playing him a lot more as a sophomore. And going into this season, he kind of took a back seat in the first couple games to the seniors who played a lot. And, you know, it was actually after that Beverly week, we decided we need to get Christian the ball more. And, you know, he's been really running very well the last 4 or 5 weeks.
All right, now you look at Beverly, and there's a team that had a little bit of a dip a couple of weeks ago, played strong all year long, and came back and played strong again last week. And across the league, everybody has knocked everybody else off in that north. So, Beverly, a seasoned team, a veteran team with some terrific athletes.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily took a dip. I just think there's some strong competition in that league with, you know, Marblehead and Danvers and Peabody. I just think it's a tough competition, and it's a grind. Week to week, you're going up against really good competition up there. So I don't know if Beverly took a dip. I would just say that they got in a few games and things got out of control for them, and they met some good competition, some good, solid competition.
I stand corrected. I agree with you totally. I should have. That's a much better way to put it, Coach. Finally, I think in a game of this magnitude, when you have two teams that, at least on paper now at this point in the season, are very evenly matched, obviously ball security is paramount and mistakes. So these are something that I'm sure both schools have worked hard on getting into the kids' heads, that you got to hold onto the ball and you can't lose your temper. You've got. I mean, I saw last week in a game that we did, we saw two unsportsmanlike conduct players, penalties on one player in the first period, and you just can't do that.
Two unsportsmanlikes on one player?
Yep.
Isn't that an ejection?
I think it was, except I think they called a personal foul differently. Like, they changed it to, a face mask or something or other, but there were two on one player. He did leave the game.
He came back.
Yeah, and he did come back in. He was chastised, rightfully so, by his coach, but we don't mention a name. But obviously it was in the heat of the moment. And, football is an emotional game. You're smacking each other. You're angry out there, but you still have to have control.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's an emotional game, and it's physical, and you're beating on each other for, 44 minutes. So emotions can run a little wild. You just have to have that discipline to know that, if I do something stupid here, I'm going to hurt my teammates. It's not just about you. It's about all the things that your teammates have been working for. And when you do something stupid, you get yourself thrown out of the game, or you get yourself a personal foul, give the other team 15 yards and another opportunity. That hurts the whole team. So you just have to be smart about it. You know, we've been in those places before. Last year, Thanksgiving, we had several personal fouls that, cost us in that game. And it does. It costs you the game because it's stupid penalties that can be avoided. As far as ball control or holding on to the football, we've done pretty well with that this year. So, hopefully, knock on wood, we'll carry that through the next couple of weeks.
I don't see Coach Walter on here to give me the number one up there. Coaches have long memories, though, mentioning Thanksgiving. But fun season up to this point, Coach, and we wish you well.
Thank you.
All right, that's Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli with Fisherman Forecast. I'm Rick Moore on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, general manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
Well, good evening once again, and welcome back to High School Football on MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. We're just about ready for kickoff as the Beverly Panthers are invading New Balance Field at New Old Stadium to take on the Gloucester Fishermen. Beverly with a record of 5-2, Gloucester with a record of 6-1, and we hope that you will enjoy this audio broadcast as well as the video. If you're in the vicinity of the Sylvan Street Grill over in Danvers, go on in, stop at the Sports Lounge, and take a look at the big screen and watch high school football tonight on MSO. Beverly will be kicking off from right to left, and the kicker will be Matt Madden, as usual. Back deep for Gloucester are Alex Enos, and it looks like probably, let's see if it's Goss. All right. So it's a kick that's going to come down to Goss, and it's going to go, I think, out of the end zone. Touchback. So they'll bring it out for their first possession in this game at their own 20-yard line as we are underway with high school football.
Beverly won the toss, Rick, and they decided to defer to the second half. And a lot of teams do that. Let the other team, it's harder probably to execute your offense, so let the other team execute their offense, see if they can. And if you make them punt, you usually got pretty good field position. So
Jacob
we'll see
Emerson.
What happens.
All right, Jacob Emerson is the center. Mike Cody is the quarterback. We've got a wing off to the right and a flanker split to the left. Running backs, two running backs behind Cody. And it's a handoff to Sanfilippo. Christian Sanfilippo brings it across to 25, maybe to the 26. Sanfilippo becoming a starting running back, I don't know, third or fourth game in.
Pretty good gain of about 6 yards. Just an off-tackle play.
Which they run quite a bit. Guards for Gloucester are Tommy Donahue and Kyle Acapel. We mentioned Jacob Emerson at center. Andrew Amaral, Jake Schrock are the tackles. Cody the quarterback, Philpott the tight end, and see who else is in there for receiver. Probably Alex Militello. Two running backs off to the right, handoff to Sanfilippo. No, I'm sorry, it's Enos going off to the 50, to the 40, 30, and it's not Enos, it's Jermaine Edward all the way down to the 10-yard line. Right up the middle, I thought it was an end around. Instead, Edward all the way down that sideline and almost broke it, stopped near the 10.
It'll be Fisherman and the 10 on the Panthers 16.
Just a fullback trap.
58
one of the guard pulls and kicks out one of the down linemen. And if the timing's right, you can pop that for pretty good yardage like Gloucester did.
Nice ball handling. So it's first and 10, Gloucester heading toward the canal on the far hash mark. Beautiful evening, no clouds in the sky. Handoff this time it's to Sanfilippo. Runs into a blocker, bounces off a tackler, and goes inside the 10.
Now the last game, Gloucester would get the ball down here, and they couldn't get it in the end zone. So this will be big for them if they can score on this drive.
Looks like it's at the 10, resting right on the 10, so it'll be second down and about 5 or 4 to go for the first down. Clock only showing the score and the time. That's all that's up there. We don't have down and distance or where the ball is on the scoreboard clock. It was working pretty good a little while ago as Danvers field hockey beat Gloucester 4-0 earlier this evening. Split backfield, looks like it's a strong right for Gloucester. Second down and about 4. Hand off to the first back, Jermaine Edward, powering forward to near the 6. Let's see, it's at the 7. Maybe the 8. Where would you put it, Paul? 7 or 8?
I think it's the 8, Rick, but...
All right. Yeah, I think it's the 8, so it's third down and about 2 to go. And again, ball on that far hash mark. Gloucester moving from left to right. You got their red jerseys, white pants, red helmets, and Beverly with their black pants, white jerseys, orange numerals, white helmets, and the Panther paw with the Clemson logo on it. 8:38 left to go. First quarter, initial drive by Gloucester. Third down and 2 for the Fishermen on the near hash mark this time. Hand off Sanfilippo, trying to bounce it outside, looking for a lane. He's going to get it, and he's going to go into the end zone for a touchdown. Looked like it might have been stopped in the backfield, and Sanfilippo broke it outside, got the score. Six plays, 80 yards. A little bit different start than they had the last time they played Beverly, Paul.
Yeah, that trap really, they popped it, and, you know, they had positive yardage in all their plays, so far so good. This is big, too, here, though.
Yeah. This was the
where they've struggled.
Bugaboo early on in the season. So let's see. That went through. It's a good kick by Militello. And it's 7-0 Gloucester.
Well, Militello was their punter, and they moved him to kicking off and also extra points. And he's been very consistent doing that since he started a couple games ago.
Well, Edward obviously the main point of interest on that drive. Two carries, 60 yards. One was that big 58-yarder down the sideline. And now Gloucester leads 7-0, and they'll be kicking off to Beverly for the first time tonight. Don't forget, this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill, and watch high school football on the big screen in their sports lounge. Sports lounge. Sports lounge. It's easy for you to say. What happened to the... down in distance on the scoreboard, Coach. All right, so Gloucester leads 7-0, and this is the first game of the playoffs, eighth game of the season, the high school season. And there is a scenario that Gloucester could end up playing Danvers in a couple of weeks prior to Thanksgiving. But we'll save that for Monday night discussion. All right, setting up. Panthers, of course, have their big guys back there, Miller, Madden, Abatey, back at their own 15-yard line. Kickoff is a line drive, going to go to Abatey. It's Malumba back there, but Abatey has it at the 15, cuts it from right to left, and he'll be stopped at the 20-yard line. Helping out on the tackle was Ryan Gabriel, who plays end and defensive tackle.
Well, Beverly has a tendency at the beginning of their games to do a lot of shifting to see if there's one defensive end that's going to go to their tight end, or that the defensive ends, it doesn't matter, they stay on right or left. So typically Roger Day, who's the offensive coordinator, tries to see how you're going to line up against their wing.
How long have you known Roger Day?
Probably 30 years or so.
Had to ask. Ball in the near hash mark, Beverly moving from right to left. Morency is the quarterback, rolling to his right and keeping it. He still has it. 25-30. He may go down the sideline, 40, all the way out to the 40, to the 50-yard line. That wasn't Morency, it was Abatey on the direct snap. Abatey with the carry.
Well, that was interesting. Was that Rawling? 10?
Was it 10?
Yeah.
All right, that was 20. All right, yeah, so it's 10. Correct. That's where we were talking about that before the game.
Sort of looks like the Wildcat from under center.
Yep. So that's a quick first down for Beverly, all the way out to the Gloucester, to the Beverly 45. 24-yard gain for Rodding. And the program is here. We go. Jordan Rodding, senior. He's 5'10". Don't have the weights on my charts. So this time Morency's under center. He's going to pitch it back to Madden, trying to sweep to the left with a flag on the play. He gets it across the 45 to the 46.
I think it was the man in motion, I believe, turned up the field too quickly. Which is illegal procedure.
Larry Burnham said Tom Donahue made the tackle. Larry, the stadium announcer here. But it will be penalty marked off against Beverly, pushing them back to their own 40.
Well, when a lot of motion at the beginning of the game, you kind of wonder, if you watch the Patriots games too, they do a lot of motion. See if the defensive back follows them or the safety follows them, and then you can tell if they're in man-to-man coverage, or if they stay and don't follow them, they're in zone coverage.
Gloucester leading 7-0 as a result of a Christian Sanfilippo touchdown on Gloucester's first drive, which covered 80 yards in six plays. But it's first and 15. We don't even have the distance on the scoreboard clock. Morency wants to pass, play action. He's going to step up and try to run, being horse-collared, and tackle for a sack. No penalty. Tackled back at the 37.
Well, it appeared that he didn't obviously get the face mask, but I believe he got the back of the helmet.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering there. Second down, 18. That's a punishable offense, isn't it, if you
I guess not.
Do it blatantly?
Yes, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so we're facing a third down, and let's see, Beverly has the ball at 37. They've got to get it out to the Gloucester 45. They've got a wing off to the left. Running backs are Christian Miller, Matt Madden, Hugh Callis, one of the ends, Matt Carnevale split. Handoff on the double handoff. Madden gets it. He's tripped up. Breaks a tackle. Breaks a second tackle. Reverses field and almost breaks a third tackle. Well short of the first down, but a terrific run by Madden, who gets it out near the 49.
Now that was second down, so they have another down here. That was called Crisscross, and what they do is they makes it look like a running off tackle, and the wingback comes underneath, and it's a counterplay that runs inside the reverse, runs outside, and not only a good call, but also excellent running.
Okay, it's third and about six to go for the first down. They split Tommy Adams out to the near side with a man in motion. Renzi wants to pass again. Gets away from the rush. Plants. Throws it downfield and out of bounds. So it will be fourth down. Fourth and six. So looks like Beverly will pass. Punt, I should say. 0 for 1 in passing.
We have a fourth and 7 for Beverly.
Should have blown it up, Phil. Use the, no. Make it larger. Enlarge it. That's what I did. That's down there. Scoreboard operator's down there. So it's a punt. Gloucester will let it roll down to the 19-yard line where they'll take over for their second possession. Looks like it's actually going to be, yeah, at the 19. So 80 yards for Gloucester, their first possession. For Beverly, 24 yards on their first possession.
The first and 10, Gloucester.
And now Gloucester gets its second possession. And lately, Paul, Gloucester has been scoring a lot in the first half. They seem to have made a habit of it in the last four or five games.
Well, they have. And, you know, it's good to start out the game that way. But I always worry that if you score in the first series, you think it's going to be easy. And it's a kiss of death sometimes. But this will be a big play for them here.
San Filippo is clobbered in the backfield. Big loss. 61 in on the tackle. Couldn't see the other one, but that would, or 67. It'd be Chris Faust.
Well, Beverly's not stupid. They know they got to stop the sweep, the off tackle, and the trap. And they failed to stop the trap on the first series. Let's see if Gloucester comes back with that trap. One of the things you don't want to do when play calling is become too predictable.
And you can mix it up with this kind of offense.
Certainly can, but the thing is they were successful with that big play from the trap, and it'd be interesting to see if they try and run it again.
Second and 12 from about the 17 for Gloucester. Again, going from left to right on the near hash mark, leading 7-0.
Yeah.
And off to the first back, he stood up straight. Edward, nothing.
Oh, there it was. They ran the trap, the same trap that they got the big yardage from. But with this computer scouting, computer will give you tendencies, and everybody uses it now. It's called Huddle, and unfortunately you have to scout yourself too to find out if you're pretty predictable in your play calling.
That makes sense.
Game, yeah, all teams should scout themselves.
How did you do that back in the day before we had video and stuff? You had films. You'd have to
you'd just go over your own film and find out, what do I call in this situation? Am I really predictable?
Third and 12, double reverse. Enos retreating way back behind the line of scrimmage. And there's a penalty flag afterwards. This is not good. He got it back to about the line of scrimmage. But this will be not good for whoever it's on.
Well, I saw a Beverly player clapping, so I don't know. And I still see him clapping.
Well,
usually that's a sign.
It's fourth down and 10 or 11. Well, it's first fall against Gloucester, so it'll be third and 20, apparently.
Or they turn it down after the play, Rick, so...
Fourth down, and okay, yeah. Right. Well, this is not. This is where Gloucester got in trouble in the first game.
Right. This is where, you know, their punting was... really suspect. I mean, even if he gets a good punt off here, Beverly's going to have very good field position.
And there was trouble with the snaps early on, too, on the long snaps.
I think it's been so long since they punted that you really don't know how
well
the punting game goes.
That could be. Alex Militello is the punter. And Madden is inside the Gloucester 40 to receive the ball. Militello will try to get it away from the goal line, all things being equal. Long count. Low snap, but it's okay. And a decent punt that's going to send Madden back to the 40. Going left, going right. And he gets a couple of yards to the 38. Good coverage by Gloucester, and a decent punt.
No, very good punt. Yeah, that's good to see for Militello. He struggled at the beginning of the year. That was an excellent punt.
And the Panthers are in great field position.
And it looked like they went to block it, too. I mean, he had a little bit of pressure on him.
At the 37 of Gloucester. So the Panthers with their second possession. They've got Sean Perry up front, Jake Field, Nick Scherzer of the guards, Chris Faust, Steve Serino up front. Kevin Morency is the quarterback, as we mentioned. 3:36 left to go in the first quarter. No score. Over at Channel B, it's Malden at Peabody with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns on MSONewsSports.com. There's that direct snap to the running back routing, and he gets yardage around the right side to the 33. So Rodding picked up 24 yards the first time he carried it. Gets to the Gloucester 32, five-yard gain. Second and five for Beverly. Gloucester up front has Philpott, Jake Schrock, Andrew Emerald, Jacob Emerson, Donahue, Tommy Donahue, Eric Cameron, Jermaine Edwards are the backers. It is 3 minutes left to go, first quarter. 7-0 Gloucester, but Beverly threatening. End off on an end around. Doesn't get much. Back to the line of scrimmage. Who's the ball carrier? I can't. Oh, it's Sam Abatey. Abatey with the ball. Going to put it just short of the 30. So a little more than a one-yard gain. Third and about four. At the 31, looks like they have to get it to the 26, so call it third and five. Here's a pitch to Madden, trying to sweep to the right, heads it upfield or downfield, close to the first down.
Well, that was a fullback quick pitch, and they come right up the line, and well, they got another play called right here, right away.
Right, fourth and one, and it's four down real estate, right back to the line of scrimmage. Beverly snaps. Uh-oh.
Well, I think Gloucester called timeout.
Right, right.
Timeout.
Well, they line up in T formation, two tight ends, and you know, straight across the backfield with the fullback and two halfbacks.
Well, you have five timeouts, and sometimes it seems like that's a lot, sometimes I'm sure not enough, but you want to use them, I would think, in high school.
Well, if you know,
well, they're right back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I don't know. Gloucester's not substituting. I thought that they might have called timeout for a substitution.
So there's a quick snap, quarterback keeper up the middle. Looks like a well.
I don't know. One official's at one line, and
yeah, you can see where they put the ball. I think they got it. First down.
I've always had an issue with short yardage situations where the officials are out by the sideline. I just don't know how you can tell how far the ball carry goes when there's a scrum like that.
Mm-hmm. So Beverly on the march now, trailing 7-0, but with a golden chance to tie this game or take the lead. This is the wing around for routing. And or is it 10 or 20? Anyway, he gets it to the 25.
Well, the Gloucester's pretty much stopped the sweep, at least to the left.
We'll say it's a Beatty. So, 1 yard gain, second and nine for Beverly. Again, they came in first time around and beat Gloucester handily, 35-0. It was a standoff for a little while in that game, and then Beverly took it over toward the end of the first half. Second and nine with Madden in motion. And a penalty on Beverly. We'll bring it back to the 31.
Well, there's always that risk when you do a lot of motion. The timing is much more difficult, and the cadence changes, the snap count. So that's it's been an issue here at least twice for Beverly.
Second and 14 for Beverly. Ball midway between the hash marks as the Panthers are moving from right to left. We're down to a minute left to go in this first quarter. Andrew Nicastro, our streamographer tonight, doing his usual spectacular job in the cold. Hand off, first back, not much, little yardage, maybe just inside the 25. And that's Madden.
You know, kind of the same philosophy as Gloucester, long yardage. try and pop the fullback trap and see if you can get it, and not much. Gloucester played it well.
1 yard gain, so it'll be third and 13. Again, we don't have down distance on the clock, which is kind of weird.
Third down, 13.
Scoreboard was working.
Brand new scoreboard.
Yeah, it was working beautifully a couple hours ago. So anyway, it's down to 23 seconds, clock moving, and they're in the shotgun. Hand off to Madden. He's got some room on that right side, dancing around the corner, breaks it, gets the first down and more, close to the 10-yard line.
Boy, is he quick, huh?
Yeah, and that's Miller. I'm sorry, I call him Madden. It's Christian Miller, 5'9", 170, and he is one of the mainstays of that Beverly offense, along with Madden and Abatey. Right back to the line of scrimmage, put it at the 10. Coming around the other side.
Again, they were in motion. Beverly was in motion again.
Okay. The ball is at the
wing back.
Ball is at the 15. So they're going to move it back to the 20.
Ball back to the Gloucester 20. First and 15.
So bring it back to the 20. Make it first and 15. They're going to run the first quarter out. So we will take a break with the score after one here from New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. It is Gloucester leading by a score of 7-0. But Beverly is threatening.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Well, Paul, Beverly with a great chance here to tie this game up, but those motion penalties.
Well, they're interrupting making momentum. Up for it with big plays, but yeah, that'll kill you eventually. They're trying to get the plays off before Gloucester gets adjusted. And unfortunately for Beverly, they're not all in sync to get that ball off.
We'll be participating tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., in the Northeastern Conference meet at Bradley Commerce Park.
Gloucester with a total offense so far of 79. Beverly, seventh play of this drive, starting at the Gloucester 37. So it's second down for Beverly. And down to the 15-yard line. Miller, second effort. I'm going to give him the 15.
I believe he fumbled the ball and Beverly recovered. Are they going to call him down? I guess they're calling him down.
Yeah. 5-yard gain. Now, let's see. The ball is at the 16, and they need to get it down to the 5. So about 11 to go for the first down. Second and 11 from the Gloucester 16. And Abatey gets it on a sweep to the left, brings it to the 10 maybe.
Right, that's a jet play where the slot back or wing back goes in motion right behind the quarterback as fast as he can go, and they snap it real quick. And
right back to the line of scrimmage. This time it's the other direction.
That's a crisscross play again with that counter play.
I can't see if it's Miller or Madden. Madden. Got a couple yards, so it'll be fourth down.
He's brought down at the Gloucester 8-yard line. It'll bring up a fourth down and 4 for the Panthers.
So I thought they had to get to the... It's at the 8.
Fourth down, 3.
Yeah, all right. At the 8, almost a 9. They need to get it to the 6. Morency wants to throw. Pump fakes. Now he's running. He's going to unload it, and there's a man open up in the air. Did he come down with it? No. Oh, my. Madden said he had it, but it was...
I think he caught it, and but he might have been out
well,
of the end zone.
Bounced up in the air, I think, then trying to kind of re-catch it as it came back down is where he went out. Oh, my. What a opportunity for Beverly goes by the boards. Cowabunga. So 25 total yards for Beverly, they've got 49 now in this first half, and this is a vaunted offense that rolled up some yards on Gloucester first time around. All right, Gloucester will start over now from Where the heck is the ball? Jeez. Where's the ball? Where's the line of scrimmage? Six?
A lot of lines out there.
Eight? We'll call it the eight. I know, it's with all the soccer field hockey stuff down there. Pop pass over to the right side after a fake run. Looks like it's complete. It's either Militello or Philpott. Philpott at the 15.
It's a completion of seven out to the Gloucester 15.
Philpott, main receiver for Gloucester, although Militello is...
Well, Gloucester runs the ball so much that the play-action passes should work, and that's pretty... You got a stationary target there with the tight end, so it's pretty easy to execute, and Gloucester did very well, and, you know, that's good. They threw in first down.
7 yard gain, so second and three for Gloucester as they're trying to move away from the canal. 8:38 left to go. First half, 7-0. Gloucester. And it's a handoff up the middle. Big yardage out to about the 25-yard line.
Jermaine Edward out.
Jermaine Edward. 12-yard gain, first down for Edward. Three carries and 72 yards for Edward already in this first half. So 8:22 left to go in the quarter. Gloucester gets a first down. Well, this is a different game. This is between two even teams at the moment. First time around, Beverly really had the upper hand. First down, Gloucester, handoff, Jermaine Edward, dancing into the secondary, gets it out to the 33.
Well, this is what Beverly doesn't want, is Gloucester just eating up yardage and eating up the clock.
Another 7 yards, Coach, I think it is.
Second and three.
Yep. Beautiful night. And tremendous crowd. Not an SRO crowd, but a good crowd anyway. Beverly travels well. Second and three for Gloucester with a split backfield behind quarterback Cody. He hands it off to Sanfilippo. Off a tackle, breaks it. He almost broke it all the way, but he is tripped up and stopped at the 42 for the first down. Goodness gracious. So first and 10, they're at the...
And another fisherman. First and 10.
Well, he actually put it at 43, so it's a 9-yard gain. Only score of the game so far, Christian Sanfilippo, an 8-yard run at the end of Gloucester's opening drive. 7-minute mark now in the half. First and 10. Good numbers on both sidelines, as you can see on the video. Enos is tackled nicely in an open field tackle in the backfield. And
well, that's an unbalanced line. They take the split end and put him over on the same side as the tight end and wing. And
Ryan Garrity with the tackle, 1 yard loss.
What you want to do is have a play that goes away from the strength in that, because if they overshift, you want to go back the other way.
Tackle of the loss of yards.
Clock moving down to 6:22. Reminder, this game is brought to you by Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor. So it's second down 11 for Gloucester. Panthers with eight men up close to the line of scrimmage. It's a pitch out to Sanfilippo. Nowhere to go. And he's ridden down.
That was played well by Beverly.
By Hugh Callis.
Usually pretty efficient at that.
Callis brought him down at the 44, so 2 yard gain. And now it's third and about 7 or 8 to go for the first down. Gloucester trying to keep some momentum going. Beverly with a big chance last possession. Saw it fizzle out on a fourth down pass play. Almost a touchdown.
Now let's see what Gloucester, if they'll put the ball in the air here.
Well, third and 8. Cody's the quarterback with Enos in motion. And it is a play action, looking for Enos. He catches it and then drops it. Good defensive play by Rodding at the Beverly 35. Perfect pass, and Rodding defensed it very well.
Well, I'll tell you, Militello was wide open. What they do is they send the split end deep, and then the back just follows him down the field. And nice throw by Cody, mm-hmm. but good defensive play. But Militello was...
For 24, Alex Militello, do the punting for the Fishermen.
Fourth down for Gloucester. Punt will get away from about the 42, I would say. Militello for Gloucester will be doing the punting. Two men back to receive the ball for Beverly off to our left. And this is off the side of the foot. It's going to be a short kick that goes out of bounds. In great field shape for Beverly.
Yes.
Wow. Well, again, it shows you how important special teams are, even in high school, maybe especially in high school. It's at the 39. Again, of Beverly for the Panthers.
Tonight we had some pretty good jackpot so far this season here at Gould Stadium.
5:11 left to go in the first half.
And over at the concession stand.
Tonight's presentation of MSONewsSports.com brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire, and by Moore GMC of Danvers, serving the North Shore since 1969 at 84 High Street. See General Manager Jeff Klickstein and tell him you heard it on MSO News Sports. Beatty will go around left end and plow his way close to the first down out to the 49.
What's interesting, Rick, is that Beverly wants to run left. And they had not been successful. That was the first time, but they really want to run that sweep to the left.
1 yard to go for the first down. Madden sweeping it outside to the right. First down yardage and more. Enos trying to chase him down. And he goes out of bounds, I think, at the 35-yard line. Well, they're going to put him out of bounds at the 33.
Well, they're certainly running a hurry-up offense here. And they're not giving Gloucester much time to set up.
First down for Madden and Beverly as they are in that quick strike offense there. They've got the ball right down to the 33 already.
After Gloucester might think of calling a timeout and just slowing the game down a little bit here.
Got it down to the Gloucester 8 on the previous possession. Beatty the other side this time going to the left. Hole on the left side. And he dances outside for big yardage down to the 27. What a 6 yard gain, so second and 4. Four and a half minutes left to go. Actually, it's inside that. It's 4:18 left to go in the half. Ball on the far hash mark. They're using the width of the field with a flanker way out to the right side. Hand off to Madden. Big yardage. He's got blocking downfield inside the 15, close to the 10.
Inside the 15-yard line.
Now, Beverly's really rolling right now.
They are. Call it the 13-yard line. First down.
All right, Gloucester called timeout.
Timeout, Fisherman.
And we have lost our power again, so I don't know what happens with that, but we are on battery power. So we'll have to check that here in a second. 4:07 left to go. Oh, somebody unplugged us. Here we go.
This afternoon, losing to Danvers, but they're getting ready for the upcoming
okay, we're back.
Division II North Tournament.
Beverly on the march now, trying to tie this thing up.
And they'll await their opponent in the Monday pairings. Best of luck to the Gloucester High School field hockey team.
So it's first and 10 for Beverly at the Gloucester 12. And again, on the previous possession, they got it down to the Gloucester 8-yard line. Had a fourth down, incomplete in the end zone. Turned the ball over to Gloucester. But the Panthers' defense, since giving up the opening drive to Gloucester, has stiffened.
They resume to the first and 10, Beverly.
So, first down for Beverly at the Fisherman 12 is where they put it, on the far hash mark. Man in motion, handoff inside, and it's Christian Miller with the carry in inside the 5. Right back to the line of scrimmage.
Well, they're putting him in motion, the wing back, and they ran the trap then, so they're trying to make it look like, oh, he bounced it out.
And Abatey gets tackled for a loss back at the 11.
That's one of the things you just don't want to do is bounce it out down on the goal line.
Andrew Latassa with a good individual effort. Bring it back to the 11-yard line. 6-yard loss.
Yeah, I can see Roger Day's upset. Yeah.
And it's third down 9.
You want to get your shoulders square to the line of scrimmage and get up the field. You don't want to go sideways.
Third and 9 from the 11-yard line. Going to split flanker way out to the right side. Cody wants to pass. Morency wants to pass. He's running with the ball, looking, shows, throws it out of bounds. So it's fourth down once again, deep in Gloucester Real Estate for Beverly. Big play for both teams now with just 3 minutes left in the half. And Gloucester with the only touchdown so far in this one. Ball is at the 11 on the far hash mark. Beverly needs to get it down to about the 2. Heading toward the canal.
Well, they haven't had much luck throwing the ball. It's like he's scrambling every time. So
three receivers off to the right. Morency's in the shotgun with a running back in the backfield. Looking to his right. And he's going to shoot it to the right, and it's knocked away. Looks like Latassa knocked it away, or? Yeah, Latassa. So once again, Beverly knocks on the door and can't get in. My.
Well, the big play was that running that sweep and trying to bounce it out and losing yardage, because they were, when they were just going right straight at Gloucester, they were really moving the ball well.
Once again, Gloucester backed up inside their own end at the 11 to start this drive. 3 minutes, 3 seconds left to go first half. First and 10, Gloucester. They got to be careful with the ball, of course, back deep in their own zone.
Balance line.
Yep, Beverly bringing everybody up on the line of scrimmage. Run play, Sanfilippo gets through a hole on the left side out to the 14.
Well, they see, Beverly sees specific formations from Gloucester, and they're really filling the sweep hole and the trap hole. So they're probably saying that Gloucester's just not going to throw the ball down here, but we'll see.
Jake Veal, Chris Faust, Ryan Garrity up front.
As a play caller for Gloucester, you just... You know, you want to try and get a first down if you can, but you just don't want to have to risk throwing a ball and getting an interception. And you certainly tell the kids to hold on to the ball.
Do we have a timeout here? It's a long time between snaps. Second down, and about 6 to go for the first down for Gloucester at their own 14-yard line. Yeah, now Cody takes a timeout. Second timeout by Gloucester. So we were talking about timeouts, taking timeouts.
Well, I think, I don't know if it looked like he was going to change the play, and then maybe he questioned whether he should change it or not, and then time ran down and he called timeout, which is good.
Beverly hasn't used any timeouts yet in the half that I know of. Gloucester has used 2. Next broadcast will be next weekend as the MIAA playoffs continue. You'll have to check the website. It'll be a TBA situation. We will have North Shore Sports Night on Monday night. See if I can get Coach Ingram on. Tim Kearns will be co-hosting with me. Gloucester breaks the huddle. Get up to the line of scrimmage, and they're facing a 2nd and 6 from their own 14. Man in motion is Sanfilippo, 2 running backs. Hand off to Edward, and he is driven backward by the left side of that line. Oh, my. First man in on the stop.
Well, that was a fullback trap, but it's off tackle instead of right up the middle. And I think Beverly just called timeout.
Looks like it was Chris Faust with the tackle. Another timeout. So it's a 1 yard gain, making it, well, third and still 6 to go. So the initial drive is the only offense really of significance so far in this one. Gloucester on the opening drive, 8 plays, 80 yards, and it was highlighted, of course, by a long run by Jermaine Edward that covered 58 yards. And then Gloucester finishing off the score with Sanfilippo running it in from 8 yards out.
Well, Beverly must be a little bit frustrated. I mean, they've really kind of stopped themselves once they've gotten in the scoring zone, either with a penalty or with a bounce-out play. So
on Sunday morning at 11 a.m., good luck to our hard-working cheerleaders.
And they have stifled Gloucester's offense since that opening drive, for the most part. No big plays for Gloucester, which is reminiscent of the first game. Third down and about 6 to go at the line of scrimmage. It's a pitch to Enos, follows the running back, and may have the first down. Oh, it's Edward, Jermaine Edward with the carry. gets the first down, I think. Yep, he's got it.
Evan Flaherty.
Ball is out to the 46. I'm sorry, the 26.
It'll move the chains and a fisherman first and 10.
So it's 11-yard gain with 151 left to go. Gloucester now right back at the line of scrimmage with a split backfield. Hand off to Sanfilippo, stopped after a very short gain. They're going to...
Interesting if Beverly calls timeout, but it doesn't look like they're going to.
Sanfilippo gets 1 yard on that one. So it's second down and 9. And the clock is moving, Coach.
Yeah. Well, I guess Beverly's going to be satisfied just to hold Gloucester and go in 7-0.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the pitch to Sanfilippo. What a tackle. What a play. Oh, my. Who is that? What number?
84.
Ucalis. Oh, my goodness. What a tackle.
He's going to be tackled for a while by Ucalis, number 84. Timeout, Beverly.
So it's a loss on a terrific defensive play by Callis back to the 23. 4 yard loss. And that'll make it third down and about 13 for the first down for Gloucester.
Boy, Callis found a seam and he just got there real quick. Junior. That's the type of linebacker you want, somebody who can make a decision and find where the ball is.
Make a decision. Do something. Well, he certainly did. Callis has been a star all year long on defense, particularly on defense. So Beverly and Gloucester wrapped up in a duel here. 1 minute left to go. Minute 9 left to go first half. Third down and long for Gloucester at their own 25-yard line. 23-yard line. Mike Cody is the quarterback, and he's going to do a play action. He'll screen it out to the left, complete to Enos, but he's wrapped up after a short game. Enos out of bounds at the 30. I said Mark Enos, I'm sure I did. It's Alex Enos. How many times have I said that this year? I saw Alex Enos a little earlier tonight. I saw Mark Enos a little earlier tonight. That's Alex's dad. It is out to the 29, so Gloucester will be forced to punt. Still 1 minute left to go.
See
101.
If Beverly goes to block it or they try to return it. Usually you choose one or the other to block.
Beatty and Miller back to receive the ball.
It looks like they're on their toes, so it looks like they're going to try and go after the kick.
Militello gets a good punt away. Miller will field it over his shoulder at the 35, reverses field to the 40, outside 30, 45, 50, and tackled at the Gloucester 46-yard line. Nice return by Miller.
And good kick by Militello.
All right, so...
It's a 19-yard return.
Beverly once again looking to tie this thing up with 49 seconds left to go in the half. They'll be at the Gloucester 46-yard line.
I believe they have 3 timeouts left, so they've got they get enough time to do some damage here.
This is a second or third time they've started a drive in the Gloucester zone. Morency's in shotgun right now with a pitch out to the right side to Abedi. It's a forward pass, and he's tackled after a short gain. Philpott in on the stop along with Militello.
Just a quick outside screen.
Yeah, and that comes out to the 46.
Yeah, they didn't get out of bounds, so they had to call another timeout.
So it looks like it started at the initial line of scrimmage. I can't see the yard marker where the official spot was. I guess it's 46 is where it started. No gain.
From the fisherman, 46.
We are down to 39 seconds left. Once again, a pass play. This one is complete over the middle at the 45. Outside to the 40. Down the sideline. Big yardage to about the 35. Madden gets the ball. So he went out of bounds at the 33.
That was a good scheme then. What they did is they flared the back and then brought the split end underneath. And that back flaring really drew Gloucester's defense to the outside, and then they screened back towards the middle.
13-yard gain brings the ball to the Gloucester 33. 29 seconds left to go. Beverly threatening again. Ball in the near hash mark, and this is all passing now by Morency. Back to pass again. steps up, might run with it, going to be hit from behind, holds on to the ball, as good tackle that time by Nick Shears. I'm guessing nobody open as Morency had to dance around and try to make some yardage on his own. He loses a couple back to the 38.
And when we come out of this timeout, it'll be second down.
Second and 16. 15 to go for the first down with 18.6 seconds left in this first half. Presentation of MSO brought to you by Harrington Trophy, rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years at 557 Chestnut Street in Lynn. HarringtonTrophy.com, quality products and exceptional customer service. Don't forget to visit my friend, attorney Robert J. Mandruga. Please see Bob for all your estate planning and tax preparation. The man is a whiz. 18.6 left to go, first half. And it seems like I haven't counted the snaps, but Beverly has had the ball a long time in this first half. No score yet for the Panthers. 7 points for Gloucester. San Filippo, the only score. Way back in that first quarter. And how much time was there? 8:15 was the time of that first touchdown. Second and 15 for Beverly at the Gloucester 38. Once again, Morency wants to throw. He's got plenty of time. Lets it go downrange, and it's incomplete.
Yeah.
Well, there's a penalty marker down, so this will go against Gloucester, I believe. And
he,
it'll be a 10-yard game.
When he went to catch it, the defensive back pulled his arm down. So.
Well, you're not supposed to do that.
Well, you know, it's better to do that than it is to give up the pass.
Right. So the ball is spotted at the 23.
Well, that play only took 6 seconds, so.
15-yard gain from scrimmage. First and 10 for Beverly. 1:22 left to go, first half. At halftime, we'll be talking with Beverly High School principal Sean Gallagher, who doubles as a radio announcer for 104.9. Play action. Morency lofts it up. It's a wobbling pass. Coming back for it. Too short.
Yeah,
at the 10-yard line.
He had him open on a corner route.
Navidi. Yeah, that ball just slipped out of his hands, it looked like.
I think Roger Day is aging by the second here. He had him open, and he just didn't get the ball there.
Yeah, I think it slipped out of his hands. That was a pretty wobbly pass, and Beatty had to try to come back about 10 or 15 yards to try to catch it, make a diving catch. 5.5 seconds left in the first half. Beverly still trying to get into that end zone. Ball just short. Well, put it right at the Gloucester 23. On the near hash mark, Beverly going from left to right. Morency unloading all passes on this drive. Going to send Rodding out to the right side. Madden goes to the left. Morency wants to throw to the left. Again, he throws a pop-up down the left sideline. And I think that's out of bounds. Well, that ends the first half. And after the first half of play, 22 minutes gone by, it's Gloucester 7 and Beverly nothing. We'll be back.
This is MoreStuffOnline.com, the halftime show, brought to you in part by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley destination restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Hi, folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com. All right, we're at the half where Gloucester leads Beverly 7-0 at New Balance Field at Newell Stadium. And it's my pleasure once again to bring in Beverly principal Sean Gallagher, who doubles as a radio announcer, former football coach over at Salem. And Sean, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Super. How's the start of school this year?
Oh, it's been great. It's a great time of the year, as I've been hearing a lot of the announcement on the Gloucester kids and all the different postseason and all the different sports.
Oh, yeah.
And this is a great time of the year, especially the end of October going into November, where many of the student-athletes in different programs get to represent in the MIA tournament.
Mm-hmm. All right, we'll get to that. We'll get to some Beverly stuff in a second in terms of the school. But what do you see in this first half? I know you, the first game, we did that game, 35-0 Beverly.
Right.
And it was sort of like this in the first half till Beverly sort of pulled away at the end of the first half.
Exactly.
And then took over. So a very similar situation, Beverly just not quite able to get it in.
Right, and I'll tell you, we did a couple games in Gloucester, and you know, if I got to pick a draw in the MIA tournament, I don't know if I'd want to replay Gloucester, no matter when they show up. It's tough enough to come out here and get one win, but to try to get two in a season is very difficult. So we felt, or I knew this game was going to be a lot tighter, and I think, you know, Gloucester, typical Gloucester, a great tradition up here. Those guys, when they come out of that locker room, the number one thing you need to do as a visiting team is to try to slow them down. Try not to let the Gloucester Fishermen get success in the beginning, because they can just snowball down the road. And I think Gloucester came out, and they were fired up, and they put that touchdown in. And I really believe Beverly's defense has done a great job keeping them out of the end zone again. But this first half, I think Gloucester Fishermen played very well. So if you're Beverly, you're going into the half, you're regrouping, you're kind of looking at some strategy on how to get your running game more consistent. And then defensively, you're looking to try to slow down this Gloucester Fishermen team.
Now, how cool is it? I think it's kind of special when you're an educator and you're covering this team tonight. And, you know, I'm a longtime educator at Gloucester High School, but a fan of the league. I was, you know, I've been working with Bill Newell for the last 35 years, and we just love the Northeastern Conference. And you get to see different kids. You know the relationships of the coaches and the ADs and the principals of their schools. But it's really kind of special when you get to watch your own kids out there, isn't it?
It is. And you know what? And this is like, you know, Mike and I were talking earlier on the radio about the MI playoff system and all of that type of stuff, and I really believe it benefits the you know, some of the Catholic schools. It benefits Western Mass, but Eastern Mass football, it, you know, this is tradition out here. You know, this traditional teams have been playing each other for 90 years, and to me, I think it's it doesn't help or it doesn't really fit. So I love coming up here. I mean, I have fond memories. I mean, I grew up in Salem. Fond memories, my older brother's playing up here in the 70s, and I got to play here as a player in the 80s, and I got to coach here. So nothing beats those memories, and nothing beats that tradition, and well, you can't replace it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and Gloucester is looking forward to resuming its relationship with Winthrop. I mean, they're sort of like sister cities, they're,
right,
you know, mirror
right.
images of each other. And I miss the Gloucester-Winthrops and, you know, the Gloucester-Danvers games in
exactly.
Beverly, Gloucester-Peabody,
exactly.
Gloucester-Newburyport, I mean, you know. So I don't know, do you, without getting into bashing the playoff format,
right,
of the
right.
Do you see a day when maybe this thing can sort of get back to our community or our area rivalries?
I think so, and I think the Northeast Conference schools and the administration around the Northeast Conference, we all feel that same way, that the conference is so important, traditional leagues are so important, that I'm not sure if, you know, Eastern Mass football is really the strongest football in the state, and there are many teams that we represent in District A that really aren't satisfied with this playoff, and what they're seeing is a watering down of these great leagues and traditions, and that's something, like, even if you don't win your conference here in the Northeast Conference, you could go 5-5, but if you beat a Gloucester or you beat a Swampscott or a Beverly, that's your season, I mean, for those kids. And it's not necessarily winning championships, but it's representing on the North Shore.
New stuff with, we talked about this a couple of years ago with the social media, and this uncharted territory, and it, you know, it reared its ugly head in Swampscott this year and in Winthrop, and a very unfortunate situation where everybody gets blamed for something that a few, or one in one case,
right.
Do. But how do you deal with that at Beverly High School, Sean? Because, you know, it's hard to keep up with, you know, for people of a certain age.
I agree, and I think that, you know, one of the benefits of technology, there's so many benefits with education and kind of moving forward and being like the global education piece. But the sidetrack of this, students are growing up with this use of technology, and what sometimes they don't understand is whatever they send out, whatever they text, whatever pictures they send out, that lives forever. So you can't, once that gets released in social media, you can't pull that back. And in some cases, you can't go back and say, you know, hey, I'm sorry I did that, because then it lives forever. So, you know, we try to utilize that in our business tech. We have different courses within our system where we talk about social media and the ramifications of that. I know the DA's budget has Think Before You Send programs, but it is a challenge. It's a challenge for parents, and it's a challenge for kids because, you know, and as you said, it can just create, can snowball out of control where a whole school system or a city, and it can be very detrimental.
I hate to admit my age, you know, of course, and I love technology, but I can't figure out this Facebook. And
right.
I teach, of course, the teachers about technology.
Right.
But kids, bing, 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 and they're in one thing and off to
right.
another, and it's incredible. But, Sean, on a good note, you were just cluing me in here before we started. I want to get two things going on at Beverly High School. But my dad was a Marine in World War II, an Iwo Jima survivor. And then he did three tours of duty in Vietnam. Won the silver medal, the Bronze Star, a couple times. But there's nothing like what your high school got to experience recently. So tell us about that.
Right. We had a great opportunity. Jerry Paraseller, our state rep, who's also a vet, we had an opportunity where the Congressional Medal of Honor recipients throughout the nation had their conference in Boston, and there's 78 living recipients. So we ended up coordinating an opportunity for two Congressional Medal of Honor recipients to come to Beverly High School to speak to our students.
Wow.
And what was really, really impressive is, you know, it sounded like a great idea, and then I get a call, oh, they're going to fly in, and I'm thinking fly into Boston. No, we're going to fly on a Black Hawk helicopter on your field.
Cool.
I was like, all right, well, yeah. Let's see how this is going to work. And I'll tell you, I can't say enough, because we really, At Bailey Heights, we talk about giving back to your community. You're more than just yourself. And the recipients that spoke to our kids, although they're in their 70s, their message was dead on. You could hear a pin drop on how impressed our kids were. And it was probably one of the best things I've been part of as a principal. And I'll tell you, the respect that these gentlemen got from the state police, from our kids, it was a wonderful, wonderful day for Beverly in the school. So, and it's just truly impressive.
Fantastic.
The heroism.
Fantastic. Now you got a couple of assistants here we want to talk about for a second. One of them is up in the booth here, and then you got another one down in the field.
That's right.
So how does this work out? We're getting a little intimidated up here.
Well,
how's this going?
I've been having to work with Mike O'Brien for 10 years, so I need backup. But yeah, we have a great school community. My teachers, everyone gets really involved in the community, and Jen DiStefano, our assistant principals here. I think she goes, oh, I'd love to, you know, come up and be in the booth, but I think she just wants to get warm. So I
that's
don't
not
know
a bad idea.
But we have a great.
And then you get Coach Bauer down on the field
that's
there.
Right. So I have to head
okay,
back.
Okay, we'll see
I'm
you later.
Call by
Sean,
Mr.
thank you so much.
O'Brien.
I appreciate it.
All right,
thanks all right, a lot. Talk to you later. That's Beverly High School Principal Sean Gallagher, who's also doubling as announcer for North Shore 104.9 and former high school coach, football coach over at Salem High School. Score here at halftime is 7-0 Gloucester. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll check out some stats at the half.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trusts, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Madruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new game time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at BradfordTavern.com.
right, we're just about ready for the second half kickoff. Beverly has returned to the field. Gloucester has yet to do so, with Gloucester leading this one by a score of 7-0. And the stats are pretty even. 131 yards of total offense for Gloucester, 122 yards of total offense for Beverly. And only a personal stat of note, I guess, is Jermaine Edward, 5 carries for 84 yards. Interesting to note that Beverly passing the ball exclusively on their final possession, Coach, 5 consecutive passes.
Well, yeah, they put themselves in positions where they really had to pass two reasons, try large yardage to gain and also to stop the clock if it was incomplete.
I'm Rick Moore. That's Paul Ingram. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. It's 7-0 as we get ready for the third quarter. The only touchdown of the ballgame so far, Christian Sanfilippo finishing off an 6-play, 80-yard touchdown drive, opening up the game with an 8-yard touchdown scamper. And Alex Militello added the point after. And that's where we stand, 7-0. Beverly has threatened several times. I don't think Gloucester's gotten within the 30 since their opening foray.
Yeah, Beverly's tightened up, and offensively they moved the ball pretty well, but they stopped themselves. Once they got in the scoring zone, they had a few mental mistakes, and it cost them. But they received the ball in the second half here, and let's see what happens. If it'd be good for Gloucester to put a stop on them quick. And
Malumba's in the middle. Abatey is on the near side. And Matt Madden is on the far side as the Panthers are set to receive the kickoff at their own 15-yard line. Militello getting ready to tee the ball up for Gloucester on a beautiful night. Tremendous crowd here. Not quite as many as we had the first time around, but a lot of people. Some ringing the field at the fences, and many, many people in the stands. And they're mixed. We have Beverly and Gloucester supporters sitting side by side in the stands in front of us. So it's great to see such support for these high school kids. Beautiful night for football. Militello is ready. And he puts the right foot into it. It's a line drive kick that's going to bounce up to Madden at the 25. Return to the 40. 45 out to the 47. Yeah, so Miller was back. Madden was up front.
Boy, that's good field position. I don't know if he planned on squibbing it or he just missed it, but that's the wrong guy to kick it to.
Well, Beverly will start at their own 48. And again, we don't have down and distance on the scoreboard. So it's first and 10 for the Panthers, midway between the hash marks as Beverly is moving toward the canal. And they come right up to the line of scrimmage from the sideline. Morency is the quarterback. Split backfield behind Morency with the wing out to the right side. Hand off to Madden. Spins, gets yardage across the 50. Breaks a tackle out to the down to the 40-yard line. Great running by Matt Madden. That was a terrific run by Madden, spinning around and getting the first down. Looked like he was going to
stop. I think they're going to run a play right away again. They're just not going to let Gloucester get set.
12-yard gain for Madden.
Now they're going to go in the huddle.
He did this to me in Peabody, and man, it's tough keeping up with that. Well, they're right back out of the huddle. Going to send, I believe it's rotting off to the right. Or no, it's Tommy Adams instead. Run play. A couple of yards to Miller across the 40 to the 30. Eight?
Well, they're doing the same thing Gloucester is doing to them. They're running an unbalanced line.
It's at the 39, just a one-yard gain.
They try to run a trap up the middle off that.
Second and 9, from the Gloucester 39. All right, Burnham, our stadium announcer, as you heard, second and 9. Have to watch the website to figure out where we're going to be next week. Adam splits to the near side, right for Morency. Hands off to Madden. Sweep to the left. Penalty marker down, but they let the play go, so it's probably offside Gloucester. And it gets down to the 37 or 36. So we look at the hat. Yeah, it's offside
right,
of Gloucester.
It's offside Gloucester.
Yeah, well, they didn't stop the play, so couldn't have been motion. Offside Gloucester. After getting the ball to the 37, it looked like
I didn't see anybody move, so it must have been his alignment.
Mm-hmm. Brings it to the 34, making it. Let's see.
Running a lot of spread formations here, but not the intent of
Madden on the run play to the 31.
Now another flag.
Flag in the play. That's a procedure call against Beverly. So bring it back.
Beverly is just
Beverly all star.
Bring it back out to the 39. Well, anyway, no scoring yet. Obviously, we're early on in this third quarter. Wind still blowing from behind our backs, which is pretty much out of the north.
Second down and nine.
North-northwest, 9:33 left to go. Second down and nine. Back to Madden in the shotgun, retreating in the backfield, and he's tackled back at the 44. So that was kind of successful in the first half, not working on this particular play, back to the 44. That's about a 5-yard loss.
Loss back to Gloucester, 45.
Almost a 15-yard to go situation for Beverly on the far hash mark, going from left to right. So we'll call it third and 15. They've got Abatey wide to the right. They're going to put Callis in the slot to the right. And Abatey in motion from right to left. Hand off on a counter play, though. And it's going to go down to about the 39. Miller with the carry. So it will be fourth. And Gloucester holds Beverly on the first possession of the second half. Panthers right up to the line of scrimmage for the punt. They're going to pin Gloucester back, presumably.
I don't see a punter.
That's true. But it is Christian Echeverria, who is ordinarily the punter. He is number two. And he'll drop back from 5 yards to about 12 yards back. Good snap, and right-footed kick. Going to go off the side to the left side, out of bounds, inside the 25 for Gloucester. All right, 135 now total offense for Beverly and 131 total offense for Gloucester. But Fishermen get the ball for the first time in this half, starting at their own 22. With 8:06 left to go in the third quarter. Again, just one touchdown so far. San Filippo for Gloucester, 7-0, ball on the far hash mark. Cody is the quarterback, and he's got fullback behind him, halfback San Filippo, the right halfback, outside, yardage, 30, 40, 50, 40, and run out of bounds, finally, inside the 35-yard line by Kevin Flaherty, who has been immense on defense all year long. But San Filippo with huge yardage all the way down to the Beverly 35-yard line.
4-yard run, first and 10 Fishermen.
They credit San Filippo with a 44-yard pickup that time. So Gloucester now is threatening for the first time since early in the game. Split backfield behind.
Now they're unbalanced again, and that's
behind the quarterback. San Filippo trying to sweep to the right side. He does cut it outside. Gets about 5 yards to the 30.
Well, they just unbalanced. They took the split end, and they're putting him right next to the tight end. Split about maybe 4 yards, and he's probably cracking back to the inside. And Beverly is not changing their alignment to that.
4 yard gain at the 31. Second and six with 7.5 left to go in this third quarter. Again, don't forget, this game brought to you in part by Gloria Food Store, consistently Beverly's number one deli, and the Lynn Museum at 590 Washington Street in Lynn. Second down for Gloucester. Split backfield behind the quarterback, Cody. Long count under center. 7-8 men near the line of scrimmage. It's a run play. San Filippo is going to be shirt tackle for a loss back at the 35 by Malumba.
Well, they... that was predictable from that formation. They've been running that play, and give Beverly credit. They recognized it, and they blitzed right into it.
Lost back to the 36, 2 yard loss. And so now it's third down and long for Gloucester. They, it's about a third and 11. They need to get it to the 25. They're at the 36. All midway between the hash marks. Again, beautiful night. Bit of a breeze, not too bad, but it's across the field from the players left to their right for the Gloucester fishermen. With backfield behind Cody with Enos in motion. Cody wants to throw. He's looking for Enos. Fires it over the middle. Overthrown. Militello was open in the end zone. So it'll be third.
Well, they ran that play previously, and he was open, and probably told the coaching staff, and they tried it again. He was open again, but he just a little bit overthrown.
Well, that was a nice pass, though, Coach. All in all, about 45 yards in the air, just a little bit overthrown. Well, big play now as it's fourth down. Would you punt here, Coach, or go for it? They're at the 36.
Beverly's moving the ball too well. I'd punt it. But they're not.
Well, it's 4th and 11, yeah. So it's at the 36-yard line. One back behind Cody this time. Back to pass, keeping Edward in for blocking. Good pass downfield. Well, that looked like it was a good pass, and incomplete at the 9. Alex Enos was the intended receiver. I wonder if he lost that in the lights. Well, doesn't work. Beverly takes over. First and 10 at their own 36-yard line for their second possession of the half. 6:13 left to go in this quarter. MIAA playoff action. Beverly and Gloucester. Fisherman leading 7-0 with the touchdown coming on the first possession of the ball game. At their 36, it's a run play from Madden, trying to break some tackles and fighting along the line of scrimmage, gets a couple.
Boy, they really, really have run that play left all night long.
Well, it gets out to 39, so it is a 3-yard gain. 2nd and 7, right back to the line of scrimmage. Gloucester can't get set on defense as Madden will sweep to the right side. Enos tries to get him, can't make him, but he does trip him up. Goes out of bounds at the 47.
Alex Enos, Mike Cody on the stop.
And it is a first down.
To the Beverly 47-yard line.
With that run by Madden. 5.5 left to go. That's actually put it at the 46.
First and 10, Beverly. And the clock is running. There's 5.5 minutes left.
Panthers huddle up this time. Up to the line of scrimmage. And it's a tight formation. Madden will sweep the left and stopped after a 1-yard gain.
First stop made by number 55, Thomas Donahue, number 22, John.
Donahue and Philpott.
Very nice tackle by Donahue.
Mm-hmm. No huddle. Beverly, 2nd down and 10. Double handoff and spinning around in the middle of everything as the runner gets a yard, maybe.
Well, that was a crisscross play, that inside reverse.
Madden on the inside reverse.
They give him a yard to the 48.
And one to his 48.
1-yard gain. So, 3rd down for Beverly and 8 to go. Big play now coming up, obviously, for both teams. Still 7-0 is where we are. Well, let's see. Gloucester got 14 yards. Okay. So Morency, once again, a quarterback, straight back to pass. He's got time, shoots it over the middle, wide open, and it's dropped at the 26-yard line as a result of the defensive play by, is that Enos?
I think that's Latassa.
Latassa, 48,
yeah,
not 38.
Nice play.
You know, I've seen this all year long, Paul, where it looks like someone is open, and then the Gloucester defense is able to close the gap while the ball's in the air.
Well, that's a sign of a good defensive back, you know. And sometimes you deceive them. You make it look like they're open, knowing that you can... Oh, this is... Boy.
Well, the punt gives the ball over to Gloucester at their own 30. But that Gloucester defense, many times I've seen this year, where it looks like a play is going to be complete, and all of a sudden, that gap is closed, and the Gloucester defensive back is all over the receiver, knocking it away. And that's what happened that time on Callis. Callis was the intended receiver. It would have been a huge pickup for Beverly. But as a result, they punt. Gloucester takes over at their own 30.
Again, the punting game. I mean, that ball wasn't 5 yards in height.
Which is uncharacteristic of the Beverly special teams. So, Gloucester again in this game of you serve and I'll serve and volley. This will be a timeout for Gloucester in the second half. They're first.
30-second timeout.
I'd like to remind you of our sponsors, of course, Columbia Insurance of Lynn, offering auto, home, condo, renters, and business insurance for complete peace of mind. And the Porthole Restaurant, try their award-winning clam chowder. The Porthole provides a great dining value, combining quality with quantity. A North Shore dining landmark located on the water on the Linway in Lynn.
Let's hear it for the Gloucester High School pep band working hard tonight, working hard all
First and 10
long.
For Gloucester at the 30-yard line. 4:10 left to go, third quarter, just that one score so far in the ballgame belonging to the Fishermen. Cody is the quarterback, play action, shoots it out to the left side, complete to Enos at the 38, across the 40, out of bounds at the 43. It was a moving target that time.
Well, that comes off the sweep action, and it makes the other team read keys. In other words, the defensive back has to watch Enos. He can't watch the quarterback or the ball carrier. He has to watch the receiver in front of him, because once he reads pass, if he doesn't read him, he's going to come up and he's going to get beat deep, and that's what happened there. So good call.
First and 10 at the 43-yard line after the 13-yard gain. Split backfield behind Cody. This time it's a handoff that is diagnosed by the Panthers and goes nowhere. Actually a loss. Well, a little scrum afterwards. Coach really out in the field taking off his headset, but they'll put the ball at the 42. So it's a 1-yard loss after the run play. I don't know who carried the ball.
Edward.
Okay. Edward now has carried the ball six times for 83 yards. And that makes it, let's see. I'll call it a 1-yard loss, and it's second and 11. Again, just the time and score working on our scoreboard clock tonight. Second and 11. Sanfilippo tries to get outside, turn the corner, squares his shoulders. There he goes, across the 50, 40, and tackled from behind at the 35-yard line of Beverly.
Well, they ran that unbalanced line again and ran the sweep again to it, and last time Beverly saw that formation and stopped it, but that time they didn't.
Well, big gain by Sanfilippo. He had a 44-yarder earlier, so he's knocking on the door of close to 100 yards in rushing. Inside the 3-minute mark, first and 10. Just trying to see in the second half. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 carries in 67, 68, 69, and a loss. He's got about 70 yards in this second half. Sanfilippo up the middle, out to the right, 30, 20, down the sideline. He might, oh, he just goes out of bounds inside the 5-yard line. Another first down, first and goal for Gloucester. And Paul, is there anything different here, or are they just executing?
Well, they Beverly stopped them. Well, they're pretty formation specific. I mean, they're running plays from certain formations, and Beverly stopped them previously, but that was a counter play off the quick pitch. That was a play they hadn't run all night.
Mm-hmm.
But here's that unbalanced line again.
All right, and it's going to be a sweep to the left this time. And getting outside is Sanfilippo for his second touchdown of the night, and it's now 13 to nothing. Wow.
Second touchdown of the night for number 9, Christian Sanfilippo.
From 6 yards out. And let's see, for Gloucester.
Basically, Gloucester's running the same play over and over.
Okay.
And they're executing the play. They're making the blocks, and even though Beverly knows it's coming, they can't stop it.
Five plays, 61 yards for Gloucester. And Sanfilippo, I've got to hopefully take a break here at some point, but let's see. On just the last two plays alone.
Ooh.
No good on the extra point kick. 58 yards on the last three plays for Sanfilippo.
13, barely nothing.
So let's see. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 carries in this half for Sanfilippo. 3, four. Four, 48. Okay. 16. 106 yards on 9 carries for Sanfilippo in the second half. And it's 13 to nothing as a result of the miss. So in this type of game, and that's huge. And again, that was a 5-play, 61-yard touchdown drive that began back on the Gloucester 39. So we're down to 2:25. Took about 2 minutes for Gloucester to score that time.
Number 24, Alex Militello.
Militello will boot it for Gloucester. Looking at that cable out there for the camera. Line drive again, and this is going to go back to Malumba in the middle at the 15. Goes to the right side to the 25, and driven backwards after he gets to the 26.
A little indecision on a cut there, so.
12-yard return out to the 28.
Put it at the 28 to start this drive for the Beverly Panthers. Now trailing 13-0. Christian Sanfilippo with both scores for Gloucester. 8 yards out in the first quarter, 6 yards out in this one.
What Gloucester's done is they prevented the big play here. So, you know, Beverly's had to work for everything, and that's and they haven't been able to get it in the end zone for one reason or another, but they have moved the ball, but nothing big.
So the Panthers will see what they can do on offense now. Running play to Madden on the first play, and not much there.
Initial hit by number 22, John Philpott. Loss of two.
Maybe, 2-yard loss back to the 26. My goodness. Right back to the line of scrimmage. Abedi sweeping to the left. Gut blockers outside, 35, 40, and out of bounds close to the 45. First down with a Sam Abedi run. Nice sweep that time. Blockers in front of them clearing out the right side. And I don't know if the Gloucester defense got set, but it's they're going to put it at the 43. So it's a 17-yard gain, or rather 17-yard gain. First run back up the middle. Carrying tacklers with him. Gets progress to the 47. And that's Miller. 4-yard gain to the 47, second and six.
Well, essentially, they're running a hurry-up series.
Right back to the line. Callis will flip-flop over to the right side, left side, rather. Hand off to Madden. Hit in the backfield, breaks a tackle, cuts it outside, and goes out of bounds at the 47. Terrific run by Madden. Not for a lot of yardage, but to avoid the big loss. And he does get positive yardage.
Now, not only is quick, he's strong, because he's done that a few times tonight.
Well, he got back to the line of scrimmage, and that was it. Minute and 22 left to go in the third quarter. They're down and six for Beverly. They're moving from left to right, trailing 13 to nothing. Gloucester defense now having a chance to get set. Beverly breaks the huddle. Morency wants to run. They could bootleg. Goes left, comes back up the middle, and gets
a great effort, I'll tell you.
Yep.
He's going to be short, but not by much. Boy, what a great effort.
Yep.
He's not getting up, though.
Nope. Yep, we'll have a timeout, I think. Ball is at the Gloucester 48.
This creates a problem. They have to take him out or take a timeout. If they take him out, you put another quarterback in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Well, what you hate is when you substitute quarterback. It's a whole different ball game with cadence, and also getting the snap from the center. And you can see the other quarterback over in the sideline taking snaps because that's huge.
All right. We'll take a quick break. Timeout for a penalty for an injury with 1:07 left in the third.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program.
sponsored by Moynihan Lumber, in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel on the playing field as well as the classroom. Male and female winners are chosen each month. Student athletes who have a B or better average are nominated by their coaches. And nominations are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com.
Why are you voting for Paul McGeary?
I'm voting for Paul McGeary for mayor because he does his homework and he gets things done.
He's been my city councilor and is always helpful.
He fights for our schools.
Paul helps us support sobriety and combat substance abuse.
He listens.
He'll bring good jobs to Gloucester.
I trust Paul.
I'm Paul McGeary. I'm asking for your vote for mayor on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
All right, we do have a new quarterback in for Beverly, and it's fourth down and one to go.
Honey, I saw Rodding actually taking snaps.
Yep, and there's a run play on the direct snap, first down. Madden on the direct snap gets the first down.
Just barely got it. So it'd be interesting to see now if they're just going to kind of run wildcat now.
Okay, so question is, where's the quarterback? What number does he have? All right, Madden, direct snap, shotgun, breaks through the line to the 30, foot race, 20, down the sideline, 10, and he goes in, touchdown Madden. 45 yards away, and Beverly is drawn within 7. With 40,
you know, Rick, it's awful to say, but that might be the key to their offense right now, is just running wildcat with him. I mean, that's tough to stop.
Well, yeah.
Especially with him.
And Madden from 45 yards away broke some tackles and then sprinted down diagonally from the center of the field to the right corner. And it's now 13-6 with 40.7 seconds left to go. And Madden is a left-footed kicker.
Their right guard, they have a procedure call. Their right guard moved.
7 plays and 72 yards with that 40.
Although, no, I mean,
penalty against the fisherman offsides.
Well, the reason he moved was to protect himself.
At the distance to the goal.
Yeah, that's... You still kick it.
Yeah, well, still waiting for the point attempt. 40.7 seconds left to go after the 45-yard touchdown run by Madden. First score of the night for Beverly. And again, he is a left-footed kicker. Gloucester jumps over the line. And it's a good kick, so it's 13-7 now. And interestingly enough, total offense in the game right now, Paul, 207 yards for Beverly, 206 yards for Gloucester. A dead heat, and
yeah,
it's that kind of a game. But boy, Madden has come to life in the second half.
Well, it'd be interesting to see when Beverly goes back on offense, whether Morenci comes back in or they stay with his wildcat.
And now it's incumbent, if you're a Beverly fan, for the Panthers to play some defense and hold Beverly, hold Gloucester, get the ball back. Fishermen, meanwhile, want to keep on doing what they've been doing in this second half, anyway. So I don't know. Do you see Morenci over there? It looks like he's standing up over there. No, I can't tell. That's a long way away. Madden will do the kicking off. 13-7, 2 touchdowns for Gloucester. Christian Sanfilippo in the first and third quarters, and now Madden in the third quarter answering for Beverly. And just 40 seconds left in this third quarter. Madden puts the left foot into it. Line drive bounces at the 25, up to the hands to Enos at the 15 to the 20, and cuts it back to the middle and stopped across the 25 to maybe the 27. 33.5 left to go. They will put it at the 27. Correction, 28-yard line.
It'll be Gloucester, first and 10.
Jake Emerson, Kyle Acapel, Tom Donahue, the guards, Emerson, the center for Gloucester, Andrew Amaral, Jake Schrock are the tackles for the Fishermen. And that's counted up front by the defensive line of Jake Veal, Chris Faust, and Ryan Garrity for the Beverly Panthers. First and 10 for Gloucester. Cody is the quarterback with Enos in motion. Hand off up the middle, nothing. Maybe a yard loss.
Well, that counterplay that they scored on earlier with Sanfilippo off the quick pitch fake, they tried to run that again. And
was that Sanfilippo? Or
yeah,
was
it? Yeah.
Okay. So we'll take a break here at the end of the third quarter with Gloucester leading this one by of 13-7. We'll be back for what promises to be a very interesting fourth quarter.
Well, Beverly's certainly got some momentum here.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Okay, here we go with the fourth quarter. Gloucester holding on to a 6-point lead.
The Beverly sideline's all excited.
Yeah,
so
they're leading the cheering over there. Great to see so much enthusiasm, obviously. It's second and 13 for Gloucester back at their own 25-yard line. Pop pass over the middle, intercepted at the line of scrimmage.
Oh, my God.
And this is going to be returned for a touchdown. And the game is tied. Who is that? Was it Garrity? 80 or 60? 61? Well, you got to help me out here, guys. I don't know who that was.
That
is Jalen Cotto. Was that 61, Larry? Jalen Cotto? Well, it's a return for a touchdown. 25 yards or 27 yards on the interception. And Beverly now with a chance to take the lead. And let's see. 29 seconds between touchdowns for Beverly. Madden's kick is long and true, and oh, but there are penalty markers down. Oh, Madden got clobbered, and he's down. He missed the kick, but he is on the ground after being hit after the kick. Oh, my. Morency is already out, and Madden is down.
Well, actually, Morency held on that play, Rick, so he might be able to play again. The thing is, again, if they want Madden to kick, they have to call timeout. If he's able to.
Interception return for the touchdown was by number 51, Jake Berry.
Okay, 51, not 61. Jake Berry with the INT return for Beverly.
Dan Bauer's upset about something.
What was that, Larry, about 27 yards? The return on the INT?
Yeah, about
25.
Yeah, it was right where it was the line of scrimmage. It was right at the line of scrimmage.
Okay. Well, the delay here is that Matt Madden was run into after the on-the-point after attempt. The kick was missed, but then he was run into, and he's still down on the ground with an injury. So it is 13-13 with the point after attempt still to come with 10:51 left to go in this in the fourth quarter. So we'll take a timeout as Gloucester will go to the sideline. 13-13, we have an injury timeout, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Want a hand lover? We measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
Well, it was good to see Madden get off the field, but he was helped off the field.
Well, what's interesting now, do they kick or do they run for it?
Yeah, well, Madden is a terrific.
Consistent.
Now, is Morency back in there? Hand off, and they get in. 2 points. Christian Miller goes in. So that means that Beverly now leads 15-13. And we're just underway in the fourth quarter. With that interception, Beverly scored two touchdowns within 29 seconds.
Well, they ran a pop pass, which is meant to go to Philpott, the tight end. And I'm not sure what happened, if the defender was there and got in front of it or it got deflected, but...
I think Jake Berry just put his hands up and grabbed it.
That was quite a play.
Like grabbing a fly out of the air. It was a terrific play.
Mm.
And he just rambled on that left sideline. So it is...
And Madden, you know, he kicks off, too. Mm-hmm. So now they...
All right, so it's 15-13. Beverly has taken the lead now. With two quick touchdowns, and I mean quick touchdowns.
I guess, is going to kick now.
At the end of the third and the beginning of the fourth. Yep, Hugh Callis will kick off. And so the Panthers have taken the lead. And they'll be kicking off from right to left. Gloucester leading at 1:13-0. But that has been a race. Callis, right-footed kicker, nice high end-over-end kick. That goes down to Goss at the 12-yard line on the left. Returns to the 15, 20, and across the 25.
It's a 14-yard return. First and 10, fisherman.
Ball is placed at the Gloucester 27.5, so call it the 27. With 10:44 left to go in this one, and Gloucester has seen the 13-0 lead evaporate.
Is Madden out there
on defense?
No, I don't think he is.
I can't tell. I see 2 and 3 and 10 in the backfield. First down for Gloucester on their own 27. Split backfield, handoff to Sanfilippo, trying to go to the right, cuts it back in the middle, and he gets good yardage out to the 47, very close to the first down. They give it to him, first down.
Well, again, that same play. Unbalanced line, sweep.
Second half alone, Sanfilippo, 11 carries, 114 yards. And that's a big play for Gloucester, giving them some momentum after seeing lightning strike on that pass interception. On the near hash mark, Gloucester now moving from left to right toward the canal. Beverly bringing 7-8 men up to the line of scrimmage. Pitch to Jermaine Edward, and he barely gets back to the line of scrimmage, fumbles it, and Beverly recovers. So the Panthers have a chance to really increase the lead. Now another turnover by Gloucester, this one at the 37-yard line.
Well, two turnovers here, boy.
Yep. So Beverly already scoring twice within 29 seconds. Now have an opportunity to increase the lead, already leading by two. Let's see who the quarterback is. Let's see. I see Miller out there. Give me an idea where. Let's see. All right, they have a quarterback under center with a Beatty in motion. It's Rodding under center. And it's a handoff run play, not much, maybe a yard. Miller at the carry. So Rodding is the quarterback at the moment. No gain, second and 10. Two consecutive turnovers by Gloucester. Beverly with a great opportunity to go up by another 6 or 7, leading 15-13 after erasing a 13-0 Gloucester lead. Panthers now taking a lot of time in the huddle. I would imagine that disrupts the quick regrouping out of the huddle. Adams is split to the left. Rodding is under center. Pitches to the right. And nothing there. Lost back to the 40. Is that a Beatty? Oh, Miller. What a 2-yard loss. So it'll be 3rd and 12. So Morenci has not come back in, Coach, nor has Madden. Clock moving with 9:11 left to go. 2-point Beverly lead. Rodding getting instructions over on the
far sideline. You look at the roster here, and it Rodding doesn't say anything about quarterback, so I don't know if this is kind of on the fly or not, if he's taking snaps from before.
Split backfield behind Rodding, the normal wing tee. Gloucester jumps. This will be on the fisherman. They had Beverly back on their heels, Paul, and then you make a mistake like that, shortens it up for a third and about 7 now.
Mark the ball to the fisherman 34.
8:48 left to go. A couple of scores in the late third, early fourth. Matt Madden with a 45-yard run, and then Jake Berry with a 25-yard interception return. Just a beautiful play. Quick hands, snaring that ball out of the air as it was going over the line of scrimmage.
Well, they just ran a sweep out of this formation. Are they going to come back with it?
Third and 6 up the middle.
They run the trap.
Miller up the middle for a couple to the 37.
Yeah, gets shut down pretty quick.
Let's see where they're putting the ball. They don't put the ball down till the very end here. 33. So it's about a 2-yard gain, and it'll make it 4th and 5, as you heard Phil Nicastro say for Cable.
Well, if Gloucester escapes with no score here, that's a win for them.
Mm-hmm. Rodding is under center. He keeps it. He's tackled way back at the 43-yard line. That was Eric Cameron on the tackle. Wow. So Rodding keeping it, tackle way back out of the 42.
Now Gloucester ends up with great, probably better field position than they had before.
Beverly will turn the ball over on downs. Gloucester's offense will be first and 10.
Well, that was a 9-yard loss. So they'll start at the 42. The previous drive started at their 27. They had gotten it out to the 38 before the turnover. So Gloucester at their own 42, 7:51 left to go. And run play San Filippo, right side, secondary. Across the 50, 45 to the 44, tackle by Rodding.
Tackle by number 10, Jordan Rodding.
To the Beverly 43. 15-yard gain, first down.
First and 10, Fisherman.
12 carries, 129 yards for San Filippo in the second half. He's the leading ground gainer for Gloucester this season, and coming in as a starter after the
same formation,
second or third game. Split backfield, handoff, sweep, Sanfilippo stopped in the backfield this time. Yard loss to the 44. 7:12 left to go. 15-13, Beverly leading it.
Well, Gloucester has a habit of running the trap off this. If they stop the sweep, they run the trap. But we'll see.
So it's second and almost 11 for Gloucester. Ball is at the 44 of Beverly. Clock rolling, 6:51. I'm Rick Moore along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Opening round of the MIAA football tournament. Tony
that's
takes
a,
coach
that's a
early.
Different formation. I don't think that's the right formation. He's got a T formation with a split on this split end. I haven't seen that formation before.
Well, Coach really didn't like it either. Took a
timeout. That's why I think he called timeout. I think it's just someone got confused.
Second timeout for Gloucester that they've called. A couple of injury timeouts for Beverly. Again, quarterback Kevin Morency injured in the third quarter, and then Matt Madden injured on a point after attempt in the fourth quarter. So call it second and 11 for Gloucester at the Beverly 40, almost at the 43. Wing to the right, slot to the right. Cody gives it to the first back, powering forward to about the 41 as Edwards stayed on his feet and got positive yardage.
Well, they ran that unbalanced formation and, like I said, tried to run the trap.
Almost a five-yard gain to the Beverly, almost to the 39, not quite.
Third down seven.
Clock moving at 6:10. And it's a third down and about seven to go for the first down. Huge play coming up for Gloucester. Cody wants to pass. Look out, he's going to have to run. Escapes the tackle and gets it outside. I think he's got the first down. And a penalty marker comes down after the play. Oh my. Now the question is, against whom is this? Looks like it's against Gloucester. Panthers are applauding. Got the ball to the 30, it looks like, which would be a first down. And should be a first down if the penalty is a dead ball foul. Personal foul against Beverly. They'll bring it, get some more yardage out of that one. Wow. Terrific run by Mike Cody that time, though, Coach.
15 yards after the run. Mark the ball at the Panther 15-yard line. First and 10, Fisherman.
15-yard penalty puts the ball at the Beverly 15-yard line. 5:51 left to go in the ball game. Gloucester trailing by two. As we break the huddle, it's first down. It is Sanfilippo following a block outside, close to the first down. Sanfilippo following Edward that time. Put it at the 10, according to Larry. Looks like it's at the 9. 6-yard gain. 15-13, Beverly leading it. Clock moving, 5:24 left to go in regulation.
Well, it would be good for Gloucester is to score, but take their time scoring.
Beverly changes up on defense. Second and 3, split backfield behind Cody. It's a run play trying to sweep outside. They're going to break down, and Beverly defenses it nicely.
It's that unbalanced formation, and they know where it's going.
Stop by Brady 4, Hugh Callis, and number 2, Christian Echeverria.
So Sanfilippo loses yardage back out to the 12. Back to the 11, so it's a 2-yard loss. And Sanfilippo in the second half alone, 15 carries, 135 yards. But Beverly holding on to the 15-13 lead. And it's a third down and 7 to go for Gloucester. They need to get to the 5. pitch, left side. Sanfilippo tackled for a loss. Rodding in there is the first tackler. Terrific tackle by Rodding. And that makes it really difficult now for Gloucester. Back out to the 15.
Lost back to the Beverly 14.
My, my.
It'll be 4th and 9 for the Fishermen.
This is it, Coach. This might be the ballgame right here. 3:57 left to go. 4th down for Gloucester. Ball is just inside the 15-yard line. And they need to get to the 5 for first down.
Well, I believe they're going to throw the ball. And there's some crossing routes that Gloucester has that may be the thing to call right at this point. But we'll see.
Well, let's see what happens. 4th down and long. Beverly holding on to a 2-point lead. And the Fishermen take a timeout.
Timeout, Fishermen.
Woo, mercy me. So this presentation of MSONewsSports.com is brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill. Eat, chill, and drink at the Sylvan Street Grill. Enjoy high school football on a Friday night in the sports lounge on the big screen at the Sylvan Street Grill. Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go. Enjoy the local flavor and, in part, by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. The Moynihan family, tremendous supporters of student-athletes all over the North Shore. So a long timeout now with 3:32 left to go. 2-point lead for Beverly. Two terrific defensive plays by the Panthers have pushed the ball back out to the 14 after Gloucester managed to get it down to the 9. And the Fishermen began this drive at their own 42-yard line. Scores in the game, Sanfilippo with a pair for Gloucester from 8 yards and 6 yards. For Beverly, Madden in the third. And 45 seconds left. That was in the third. And then first play in the fourth, it was Jake Berry with an interception return for a touchdown. Well, here we go. Gloucester coming out now. Getting up to the line of scrimmage. Panthers setting their defense. And a long
way
to go. I
would say they'd run some crossing routes and see if they can get somebody wide open.
They put Innes in motion. And it's a toss to Militello. It looked like he was open, but it wasn't a good pass. And so Beverly dodges the bullet, and they take over at their own 15. So all the Panthers really need to do is get a couple of first downs. But they couldn't do it on their most previous possession. So Beverly needs to get a few first downs. Gloucester needs to get the ball. We have another timeout, is it?
Just wondering if Madden's going to be back in, but
all right, Rodding is the quarterback, and it's a handoff up the middle. Big yardage out to the 20, good 5-yard gain for Miller. And that's all Beverly needs is just to get some chunks and get a few first downs. It's out to the 16, actually. I'm sorry, it's to the 21. It's a 5-yard gain. So Miller gets the 5-yard gain out to the 21. Make it 7-3. It's a 7-yard gain. Got all confused with what I was writing. And we got a full house backfield. Yep, full house. Hand off to the left halfback. Malumba gets the first down across the 26.
That was that's their power offense. They have two tight ends, which evens up the defense and the three backs.
Well, two Gloucester turnovers, big capitalization by Beverly Panthers, and Beverly, within 29 seconds, took the lead. Two touchdowns in 29 seconds, the turning point in this one, late in the game. Panthers now have a first and 10, just letting the clock run, rolling down to 2:26, just across the 26-yard line. First and 10, T formation, the old-fashioned full house T. Quarterback slips, and the running back slips away, but gets a couple of yards. That's Miller.
Timeout, Gloucester.
Right at the 27, so maybe a yard. Gloucester spends a timeout with 2:12 left to go. So all these games are TBA. You'll have to check the website to find out where we'll be next week. We'll probably be following the winner of this one, wherever they play, unless it's at Marblehead, because we can't get in there. no place for us at Marblehead. So we'll be covering North Shore teams in the tournament a week from now. And I don't know where the non-winners are going to play either. That'll all be sorted out, what, this weekend, I suppose?
No, but what, you know, you call timeout in this situation, and what you do is you're almost guaranteed they're not going to throw, so you leave at least one defensive back pretty deep while they're spreading them out now.
Mm-hmm.
But you go for the ball. You try to create a fumble.
Well, Ronnie hands off. Safe play right up the middle of Miller. And he stacked up for about a yard.
Timeout on the field. Timeout Fisherman.
Ball is put right back where it used to was, I guess, right at the 27. So no gain, third down.
Miller's gain is to his 29-yard line.
Well, I'm sorry. Now they put it down. It's at the 29. Thank you, Larry. 2-yard gain.
That is the final timeout for the Fishermen.
Uh-oh. Fishermen out of timeouts with 2:06 left to go in the game, and it's third down. For Beverly, third and 8 for the first down. Very quiet crowd right now, waiting to see what's going to happen, but big doings just a few minutes ago. 15-13, Beverly leading this one.
What's shocking, Rick, is how quickly everything changed.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Well, make a stop here. Make them punt and see what you can do. Problem with Gloucester is their, you know, their passing game is not extensive, and to stop the clock.
Full house backfield. Left halfback Malumba stopped, and Beverly will have to punt. He gets it to the 40, and that's it. I'm sorry, to the 30. That's it. So it is a fourth down and long.
It'll be a fourth down.
Fourth and 6.
For the Panthers, fourth and 6.
Clock moving, 1:43 left to go. And needless to say, Beverly not in a hurry up right now.
Yeah, and Beverly's had trouble punting the ball. Last two kicks haven't been good.
Well, Gloucester's going to have to need. They are needing a fantastic finish to pull this one out. Down by 2. Clock still moving. Panthers still huddled up.
Beverly will call timeout when there's about 1 second left before a penalty.
And there it is. Clock stops with 1 minute, 20 seconds left to go in the ball game. No, you go for a block in this case?
You know, I think you would, Rick. You know?
You got your kicker is out.
Yeah. Well, Echeverria was punting, wasn't he?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You are correct.
So he's not out. Yeah. I mean, if you try a return and you don't get good field position, you're really, in this amount of time with no timeouts, you got to have something big happen here. So they've only got one guy back, so I assume they're going to go for the block.
Well, we'll find out in a second here. Patrick Goss is the lone safety in the punt formation, and Echeverria is the punter. He'll get it away from his own 20, and he does. It's a short kick, and Goss is going to try to field it at the 32. Gets away from one Panther. No, he doesn't. He stopped at the 37. Tackled from behind on a very nice defensive play by Jake Berry. And so,
you know, it was impressive. It was the snap from the center. I mean, that was
a bullet.
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yep. Got back there in a hurry. All right, let's look at the hat.
Looks like it's
against Gloucester?
No, it looks like it's against Beverly. Because they're asking Gloucester.
Hmm.
Maybe they're asking.
Now they're going over to talk to the Panthers coach. We don't know what it is. Referee is pointing both ways, left and right, so maybe this offsetting.
So, I guess it was on Gloucester. I mean, yes, it was on Gloucester, and Beverly probably didn't take the penalty because you don't want to punt again, take the risk of getting it blocked or having a bad snap, so they're probably better off playing defense than punting.
Gloucester's at the 38-yard line, their own 38, with 70 seconds left to go in the game. Down by 2.
Penalty is fine. Fishman will have it first and 10 from there.
Then I'm guessing Beverly will put a little bit of an umbrella defense up. And Gloucester not having a lot of success tonight passing.
Down by 2.
So Cody is under center with the split backfield. He will have a play action. Outside to the right side, pass complete to Enos at the 37. And he is, goes out of bounds at the 45, 46-yard line.
He's knocked out of bounds at his 46-yard line.
Let's see, that's an 8-yard gain, so second and two. But that's almost academic now. You got to get these plays downfield. Clock stop, as he did get out of bounds. We're down to a minute and 1 second left. Ball is at the Foster 46-yard line on the near hash mark. And the Panthers, with a tremendous, miraculous defensive play, taking a lead 29 seconds after they scored their opening, their first touchdown. Terrific defensive play for Beverly on an interception return 25 yards out. Gloucester, second and two. Play act. No, Enos gets the carry, trying to go outside, and he's going to be stopped inbounds after no gain. That took up a lot of time. It was a lateral move. Gloucester has no timeouts left. They are back to the line of scrimmage with 42 seconds left. And Cody spikes the ball. Now we're down to fourth down. So it's fourth and five, again, almost irrelevant, with 41 seconds left to go.
Well, you have to get the first down.
Well, it's going to take a sports miracle to pull this one out.
Yeah, you have to get the first down, so I would say you run the ball here and just get the first down and then get up and run another play. And you do get the first down, the clock will stop when they set the stakes again.
Terrific high school ball game in the opener of the Division III tournament between Beverly and Gloucester. Beverly 35-0 winners first time around. Gloucester leading 13-0 for the first almost three quarters. Beverly's quick striking, taking a 15-13 lead. Here we go, fourth down for Gloucester at their own 47. Run play. Edward gets the first down. 36 seconds. They do move the chains. Stop the clock at the Beverly 49. So that worked. Cody spikes it. Offside Beverly.
Panthers.
A little tense here, Coach.
Well, it's a lot more tense down there than it is up here.
Well, down to the Beverly 44 with the offsides. 35.2 seconds left. First down. Gloucester did get the first down and did stop the clock. Cowabunga. Now, do they have a pass play or a long play that can turn...
I'm not sure this is
around.
Right, Rick. It should be first and 10.
Well, it was first and 10, then they got the offside.
No. They didn't get the first down.
Yeah, they did.
Yes, and then the penalty would have... That's not
penalties
the
with the start of the next play. Right up the middle. Enos trying to break it. He goes down to the 26-yard line. Gloucester, well, they'll stop the clock.
That's
with the chains.
Edward,
okay.
At
the 28. 16-yard gain. They spike it. 27
Rick,
seconds.
They had fourth down and one.
Yep.
They took the penalty.
No, they got the first down.
Oh, they didn't take the penalty?
No, it was first down.
They took the penalty.
Took the penalty after when they went to the line of scrimmage for the next play.
Yeah.
They go to the line of scrimmage for the next play, and that's when they jumped. That's when it was offside on the next play. But anyway, they got the first down, and my goodness, Gloucester is already, well, they're down to the 37-yard line. I said 37, it's at the 27. So 27.1 seconds left to go. And they've done it by running. Cody, back to pass. Looking left, throws to the end zone. It's going to be up for grabs and just overthrown. Incomplete. Militello, the intended receiver. 20.5 seconds left to go.
Third down, 10. From the Panther 28.
Do you have in high school the ability to throw a sideline pass and get out of bounds ball? I know that takes some...
Yeah, you do. You do. I mean, I don't know if that's in their repertoire, mm-hmm. but you got to have some sideline plays for this situation.
Well, 20.5 seconds left to go. Gloucester started this drive at their own 38 with a minute and 10 seconds to go in the ballgame, down by two. And we've got...
This is really...
quite a finish here. So it is... a handoff. Run play. Edward breaks a tackle. 10! Out of bounds at the 3. With 13.4 seconds left. He's out of bounds at the 7.
Seven-yard line.
Seven. 21-yard gain. 13.4 seconds left.
Goal to go for the Fishermen.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Well, 13.4 seconds left. Now, Paul, if you run up the middle, you're not going to be able to stop the clock if you stop.
They might have to throw here.
Wow. All right, the ball is spotted at the 7-yard line on the near hash mark. 13.4 seconds left. Split backfield behind Cody. Back to pass, looking to the right, overthrown. Enos in the vicinity. Well, now, Coach, you got one play left. Do you, you go with your bread and butter and run, or you pass?
Well, I think you got two plays left.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would throw the ball again, and then on your last play, run your best play.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's going to have to get rid of it quickly if he's going to throw. 8.9 seconds left. Gloucester at the Beverly 7-yard line. Here they come, out to the line of scrimmage. Panthers, everybody up within 3 or 4 yards of the line of scrimmage. It is a play action. Throws it over the middle. Caught! It's caught! Touchdown, Gloucester! DuPont! DuPont!
Probably, yeah.
Militello!
Militello! Militello! The catch. Wow, 8-yard touchdown pass with 3.8 seconds left to go, and Beverly is about to be burned again by a last-minute pass. Marblehead did it to him a couple of weeks ago, and Gloucester has just done it again. The ball was thrown up in the air under the goalpost. Militello went way up to get it and pulled it in. 8-yard touchdown pass. Gloucester has taken a 19-15 lead.
But they went for the touchdown instead with no timeouts. It was like,
that's 8 yards, and that finishes off a 9-play, 62-yard touchdown drive. Coach, with a minute and 10 seconds left, they had the ball.
On the conversion.
Wow.
That was
not
a celebration.
So 3.8 seconds left to go.
Gloucester will attempt the conversion.
And I guess you do call that kind of a sports miracle. It wasn't much of a chance. Boy, they managed the clock,
well, that big, yeah, that big play was that fullback trap where Edward got down and he got out of bounds. That was big.
My notes are so bad I can't even read them anymore. 21-yard gain. Gloucester goes for 2. Not going to... well, Cody is slammed and driven backwards. So he doesn't get it. And so now it's 19 to 15 with 3.8 seconds left. Well, time for a return for Beverly, and that's it. So you got to squib it, I suppose.
Yeah, you kind of...
if you're Gloucester.
You don't want your deep backs to, you don't want to kick it to the guys that can go the distance.
And Beverly has players that can go the distance, including Malumba and Abatey. But again, remember, Madden hurt in the fourth quarter, Morency hurt at the end of the third quarter. So 19-15, Gloucester has taken the lead after leading 13-0, seeing that evaporate in 29 seconds. Beverly scored 2 touchdowns at the end of the third, the beginning of the fourth. And now, at the end of the ball game, Gloucester puts together a 9-play, 62-yard touchdown drive.
62-yard touchdown drive by the Fishermen with no timeouts.
Reminds me of a couple of Lynn Classical games you guys had a few years ago.
Give them time. 19-15, the Fishermen on top. They're going to go to Marblehead.
3.8 seconds left to go, and we're still waiting for the kickoff. Gloucester huddling and dancing at their own 35. Panthers deployed off to the right. Malumba is in the middle. Militella will kick it off. Clock does not start until someone touches the ball on offense. So it's a line drive kickoff to the left. And now the clock starts at the 25. Passes it back to Malumba. Malumba looking to pass it. He throws it backwards to Callis. Callis laterals it. And they're still going backwards toward their own goal line. Callis is at his goal line now. Now he's going to run it out. He throws it away. And it goes out of bounds, and that's the ball game. Wow. Well, let's compose ourselves. We'll take a break and come back and recap this one if it's possible. But Gloucester wins it 19-15 over Beverly in as strange a game as you'll ever see. We'll be back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Silverman Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Silverman Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Silverman Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Hello, sports fans. This is Wally, the voice of Honeydew Donuts. All right, you're getting ready to go to a game. I don't care if it's morning, afternoon, or night. Don't forget, stop into Honeydew Donuts and get yourself a cup of coffee. How about that large iced coffee? That Mocha Madness one is unbelievable. You'll think you went to Honeydew Heaven. So remember, you heard it here first on MSONewsSports.com. And remember the name, it's Honeydew Donuts, the only way to go.
Well, Beverly was burned by the pass a couple of weeks ago against Marblehead. They're burned by it again tonight. They lose a nail-biter 19-15 as Gloucester comes from behind and scores the winning touchdown with 3 seconds left in the game. I once again, I'm Rick Moore along with Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. It's been a long game due to injury, and we certainly convey our best wishes over to the Beverly sideline in the hopes that both Kevin Morency and Matt Madden are okay. We see somebody on crutches over there, but that might have been before the game started. They were injured in the second half, but the scoring. Gloucester opened up the scoring back in the first quarter with 8:15 left to go. Christian Sanfilippo was immense, particularly in the second half, but also in the first half, scoring from 8 yards out, 6 plays, 80 yards, and it was 7-0 at that point. Sanfilippo then scored in the third quarter. Is that right? Third quarter? From 6 yards out. I thought it was 13-0 at that. Was it 7-0 at the half?
Sanfilippo's yes, it was 7-0 at the half.
Okay.
Correct.
Sanfilippo scored with 2:25 left to go in the third quarter, making it 13-0. 5 plays, 61 yards. But then came the weirdness. Matt Madden scored from 45 yards away to make it 13-7. And then the next play from scrimmage for Gloucester, Jake Berry intercepts the ball from the 27 and carries it into the end zone. Just flicked his hands up and snatched that thing out of the air like King Kong swatting away the planes on the Empire State Building. So within 29 seconds, Beverly had scored twice to take a 15-13 lead. But on the PAT conversion, Matt Madden was injured. So you've got your starting quarterback out, you've got Madden out, and the offense pretty much stalled after that. Then the final drive of the game is just kind of crazy, as Gloucester had 1 minute and 10 seconds left to go, down by 2 points at their own 38-yard line. Quarterback Cody, 8 yards to the 46. Enos, nothing. And then carry by Edward to the Beverly 49. Offside, puts it at the Beverly 44. Edward again, an 11-yard pickup. Then an incompleted pass. Edward then gets it to the 11-yard line on the 21-yard run. Incompleted pass after that. With 3 seconds left, it is Cody hitting Militello on a spectacular catch in the end zone from 8 yards away. And Gloucester comes away with a 19-15 win. Unbelievable. Total yards in the game for Gloucester, 312 yards. For Beverly, 223. And of note, Christian Sanfilippo, 14 carries, 137 yards in the second half to go along with his 2 touchdowns. And Jermaine Edward up around 100 yards as well for Gloucester. George.
Well, great high school football game. And I tell you, it's one of the best we've seen. And it was just a great last drive there for Gloucester. Give them credit. You know, they didn't give up. And that fullback trap that they... And he got it, getting out of bounds was huge on that by Edward. And, you know, one of the things you can always second guess is, you know, Beverly, you got to go to kind of like a prevent defense a little bit. You got to soften up. When you soften up, that fullback trap opens up. But it's tough. I know the Beverly kids took this tough. You could tell by watching them over there. But... got to give Gloucester credit, you know. And
remember, Gloucester had gotten down on a previous drive to the Beverly 14-yard line before it stalled with 3
right,
minutes left.
Yeah.
So it looked like a Panther win, but not
well, Beverly will look back at the first half, too. I mean, they were down 7-0, and they had opportunities, but they couldn't, you know, they couldn't get in the end zone. Gloucester defense stiffened up down there, and, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I know what Coach Bauer is going through. It's tough to that bus ride home's tough. But give Gloucester credit. You know, they certainly had lost the momentum, and on that final drive, they got it back.
A lot of class by the Beverly Panthers as well at the end of the game, Paul. Right up to the line, shaking Gloucester's hands. And I think the two teams, the two schools, I know historically, the players have had a lot of respect for one another.
Yeah, it's you know, in a lot of other schools in the Northeast Conference too.
Yes.
Like I heard you at halftime. You know, you just don't want those rivalries to go away. And this format, you know, you kind of wonder Beverly will play Winchester next week.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's the relationship there? So.
All right, well, we'll have to check the website to see where we are. I don't think we can do a game for Marblehead if the game is there, but we'll be doing some game, and we'll have reports from Marblehead for sure if Gloucester is traveling there. So congratulations to Coach Tony Zerilli as the Gloucester fishermen advance with a really important win. And remember, they lost to Beverly earlier on 35-0. For Coach Zerilli, he is now 27-25 overall in his career. Coach Dan Bauer, 206 wins now and 89 losses. Gloucester moves on. Final score from... New Balance Field at Newell Stadium in Gloucester. It is the Gloucester Fishermen 19 and the Beverly Panthers 15. On behalf of Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, I'm Rick Moore. Have a great weekend and be safe this weekend.
This is MSO Web Radio at morestuffonline.com.